chain. Gang, that's the sound of the men working on the chain.
Listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
The Maytag Corporation and the United Auto Workers Local 997 reached a tentative agreement late last week, ending a four-week walkout. Maintenance workers at its Newton, Iowa facility walked out after negotiations broke down over the company's attempt to reduce health benefits. Maytag representatives had argued that health benefits were eroding the company's bottom line. Many of the workers expressed that the four-year contract agreed to on Thursday wasn't the best option. There was concern amongst the more than 1,500 employees that if the union and company could not come to an agreement, that some jobs would be lost. Maytag recently announced the closure of a factory in Galesburg, Illinois, and plans to move some company jobs to Mexico.
On July 1st, the California Labor Federation celebrated the enactment of the nation's first ever paid family leave legislation, which guarantees most California workers a paycheck even if they leave work to care for a loved one. For example, employees can collect 55% of their salary, up to $728 per week, to care for a new baby, a seriously ill parent, or domestic partner. Labor leaders are hoping this legislation will set a precedent for the rest of the country.
Summer travelers to England should be prepared for potential delays at the country's airports from a baggage handler strike. The work stoppage is intended to force Avians, the services group that employs more than 2,300 workers at 17 of the country's airports, to revisit a 2.5% pay increase offer that was rejected earlier this year.
After months of haggling between the New York City Police Department and a range of groups seeking to hold demonstrations at the upcoming Republican National Convention, the city finally granted 10 permits. One recipient is the New York City Central Labor Council. They're planning a massive rally outside Madison Square Garden to protest the Bush administration's anti-labor policies. United for Peace and Justice is still waiting for a permit to hold an anti-war rally in Central Park on the eve of the convention, but officials are refusing, saying too many people in the park would hurt the grass.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. A multinational study of workplace benefits conducted by the Harvard School of Public Health ranks the United States near the bottom in several categories. For example, 160 of the 168 countries analyzed offer paid time off to new mothers as a matter of government policy. 139 countries offer guaranteed sick leave, of which 84% offer at least a week off. And more than three dozen countries even guarantee extra benefits like paid time off for fathers and the option to breastfeed at work. The U.S. provides nothing of the sort.
You've been listening to WIND, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find AMIBA online at amiba.net.
When you lift a log, you never know what kind of ugly squirmies you'll find underneath. Representative Chris Bell, a Houston Democrat, recently lifted a big one in Congress when he filed an ethics complaint against House Republican leader Tom DeLay. The first ugly squirmies were the details of DeLay's corruption, including everything from bribery to the abuse of power. DeLay, who controls the flow of legislation in the House, is not shy about demanding millions of dollars in political funds from corporate lobbyists, telling them that they must pay the piper if they want their special interest bills to move. But Bell uncovered other squirmies, too. In particular, he showed that Congress's own ethics process has been updated. Interestingly, Bell's filing against DeLay was the first ethics complaint since 1997. Why? Because the Ethics Committee has effectively been put beyond the reach of those who might dare bring charges against any member of the cozy congressional club, especially against any of the leaders. In 1997, House leaders quietly barred outsiders from filing charges against unethical behavior. No public interest groups, no citizen watchdogs, no hometown constituents, no media outlets are allowed now to challenge a Congress critter's behavior. Only members of Congress themselves can file ethics charges. But then the leaders of both parties did something else. They agreed to an unofficial truce, promising that they would not file any complaints against each other. Convenient, huh? This is the truce that Bell broke. In part, he might have had the gumption to stand up to the system because he has nothing to lose or gain by it. He lost his re-election bid in the March primary, so he's a lame duck. This is Jim Hightower saying, now the leaders are rushing to stop any future Bells from breaking open their tightly closed system. A top Tom DeLay lieutenant says he wants a new rule prohibiting lame duck members from filing ethics complaints.
Tune in tonight to Hangouts, where you'll meet a pop star with a pool for a living room.
Sorry to interrupt, but why check out other people's dream homes when you can use a home equity loan to create your own? Now at LendingTree.com, you can find home equity rates as low as 3.75% APR. But they won't stay that way forever. Call LendingTree now at 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. Or visit LendingTree.com. When banks compete, you win. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply. See website for details and licensing.
38%.
46%.
42%.
I cut my payments in half.
How much can you cut your monthly student loan payments by refinancing with College Loan Corporation? To find out, just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will answer your questions and tell you how you can cut your monthly payment by up to 50% by refinancing your federal student loans at rates as low as 2.63%. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Well, happy July 6th. We now have a vice presidential candidate. Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice. Tom Hartman here, broadcasting to those who believe in peace, freedom, and the American way from coast to coast. John Edwards is the man, notwithstanding the claims of, the New York Post, I believe, got it wrong. Saying it was, here, I have a copy right in front of me. Dem picks Gephardt as vice presidential candidate. Somebody at the New York Post right now is getting kicked around the office, entertaining a little bit of, it's one of those Truman beats, or Dewey beats Truman things, one of those moments. But we've got, and of course, I'm sure you've heard, if you've been paying attention to the news at all, first of all, at 9 o'clock, Senator John Kerry announced that he was taking Senator John Edwards on as his running mate. And at 10 o'clock, an hour later, Senator John Edwards received a telephone call from Vice President Dick Cheney, welcoming him to the race and, just generally trying to intimidate him. And so we actually have a clip of that phone call. Here, this is Vice President Cheney calling John Edwards.
I've been waiting for you. We meet again at last. The circle is now complete. I am the master.
Yeah, I'm sure it went something like that anyway. So, you know, time will tell. We'll see. We'll see what happened. I'm sure, you know, from what I heard, Kerry called Edwards then and shared with him some reassurance.
The boss will be with you, always.
Yeah, and we'll see. We'll see. Edwards, you know, the it's funny how the Republicans are attacking Edwards already, of course, as you would expect. I mean, you know, it's what they're supposed to do, right? Political parties and all that. And as the Associated Press noted this morning, an article by Ron Fournier, Kerry announces Edwards as running mate. President Bush's reelection campaign wasted no time to criticize the choice. His political team planned to air a television ad featuring former Republican rival John McCain, titled First Choice, an effort to paint Democrat John Kerry's running mate as his second choice. The RNC called Edwards a disingenuous, unaccomplished liberal and a friend of personal injury trial lawyers. Well, I would say they're right on both counts, and I'm very happy about that. Edwards is a classic liberal. He's in favor of protecting the environment. He's in favor of strengthening public education. Oh, yes, I realize you have to pay for that with taxes. It means reallocation of wealth. It means you take money from people as taxes to pay for. Well, he's in favor of, you know, public education. He's in favor of increasing the ability of people to move upward mobility in society. We've seen in the last few years, the last 4 years principally, the most rigid stratification of class in the United States economically since the 1920s. People are not moving out of poverty into the middle class any longer. In fact, the actual reverse has started to happen. It actually started happening around 98, 99. This is not something that you can entirely blame on George W. This is the result of this really goes back to 1980, to Ronald Reagan, which is when the middle class stalled. 1978, 79, 80, right around in there was the last really peak in terms of average income, average earning power for the middle class in the United States. And it began this downhill slide with Reagan's, when he declared war on organized labor and in the early 80s. And, you know, it's continued, but it's really the last 3 years. I mean, these guys just are gleeful about what they've been up to, about, you know, just the $2 trillion in tax cuts, where more than half of that of those tax cuts went to the top 1% of Americans. I mean, it's just, they're just so excited about it. Individual versus huge corporations, another one of these liberal values of John Edwards. And he's in favor of having a social contract. I've had, you know, as longtime listeners know, we've had many times on this program conservatives who argue that the social contract is an antiquated notion, or that it's even a socialist notion, or a liberal notion, or a notion of no value. We don't need any social contract. What do you mean, social contract? I don't owe anything to anybody. I'm my own man here, they say. Forgetting that they received their education in taxpayer-funded schools. And, well, many of them actually may have been born into great wealth. So they say, well, forgetting then that we the people collectively have created a government and a superstructure in which it is possible to accumulate wealth. This didn't just, like, you know, fall out of the sky, or, you know, the people from the planet Theta came here and created it. This is the consequence of the founders saying, we have to put together a society, a culture, a government, collectively, all of these elements, collectively making the United States of America a place where it is possible to, you know, accomplish whatever you want to accomplish. And of course, the liberal take on that, as it were, using liberal in the classic term, the way that George Washington referred to himself as a liberal, would be that what we must have is a society where it actually is possible for a person to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. And if they have no bootstraps, we're gonna provide something. You know, the classic examples that immediately come to mind, Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice, who both got to where they are as a result, and admittedly, both of them will tell you this, got to where they are as a result of affirmative action programs. And so that, you know, on that one side, on the other side, you've got these cons standing around going, we don't need any of that stuff. You know, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Just do it yourself. Here, you can do it. And, you know, that's true for some people. That's true for people who are born into families in the solid middle class or the upper middle class. They really can do it. I mean, you really can do it, Tony Robbins. You can set goals for yourself. You can read those books by Napoleon Hill and Dale Carnegie and get all fired up and go out there and change the world and build a business and do things. You can do that. But there are millions of people in America to whom, if you were to try and say, well, you know, just pull yourself up, they wouldn't understand what you meant because of the circumstances of their birth, you know, very simply. And as long as we have literally millions of children going to bed hungry every night in the United States, we still have work to do. As long as we have, you know, in a very real way, two different school systems in the United States, two different health care systems. You know, this is a John Edwards speech. Anyway, I'm not going to give his speech. Actually, let me share with you part of Edwards, John Edwards' thoughts on these matters. It's a couple of very good clips from him. Here's the first one.
Today, the voters of Wisconsin sent a clear message. The message was this: objects in your mirror may be closer than they appear.
That you'll recall was, right after a victory of sorts in Wisconsin. It was a straw poll; it didn't quite count. But this is a guy who is an extraordinary, brilliant campaigner, and the Republicans are already freaking out. Not just the Republicans, the Chamber of Commerce. I'll get to that in a minute. Here's another clip from John Edwards.
Let me tell you why this campaign and this debate is going to continue. For the people I met with this week from Tower Automotive who have lost their jobs, I have seen the looks that I saw on their faces were very familiar to me. I have seen these looks before. These are wonderful men and women who worked there, many of them for decades, supporting their family, doing the right thing, being responsible, and now they've lost their jobs. The jobs are going to Mexico. And what are they supposed to do? Have they not done what's right? Have they not done what we expect people to do in this country? And they're looking, they've worked hard and fought all their lives, and they're trying to figure out how to continue the fight. Well, I'll tell you how they're going to continue the fight with me in this presidential campaign. That's how they're going to continue.
Yeah, and see, what he's defining here is something that I think most people are unaware of in its real explicit terms, and that is that it is not normal for there to be a middle class in a society that is absolutely wide open with regard to economics. In other words, if you say, okay, we are going to have true, what's called, you know, in economics, laissez-faire capitalism, we're going to have true, anybody can do anything capitalism, then you're not going to have a middle class. It just doesn't happen. You have the kind of world that Charles Dickens described in A Christmas Carol. You have a whole lot of very, very scared working poor, and you've got a small number of very, very wealthy people. That's what happens, ultimately. And that is the conservative agenda. And what John Edwards is saying is we're going to go back to the progressive or liberal agenda that Franklin Roosevelt articulated, that Abraham Lincoln articulated, that Thomas Jefferson articulated, and put together a society where there can be a middle class. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Your thoughts on John Edwards or other events of the day. Jim, in Atlanta, listening on the Sirius satellites on the line. Hey, Jim, what's up?
Yes, mega dittos, Tom.
Yeah, thank you, Jim.
I heard Tom Donahue early this morning before Kerry ever announced Edwards. He's the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
That's right. I'm going to get to him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he came out all fired up about how they're going to go all out against this guy. The right wing is scared to death of John Edwards.
Yeah, it's mighty strange. And I'm a member of the Chamber of Commerce. I mean, that's how we get our health insurance, with this little business that Louise and I have here. And it's like, they don't represent me.
But, you know, I've been thinking, according to the right, neither Kerry or Edwards are qualified to be president and vice president, according to this administration. Now, if that's the case, then I do agree with them, because neither one of them are draft-dodging drunks.
Thanks. Yeah, okay, thanks, Jim. Good to hear from you. 1-866-889-8894. No, and, I'm not sure, you know, I'm not sure that Dick Cheney was ever a drunk. So, John Edwards, 51 years old. He was born in Seneca, South Carolina, grew up in Robbins, North Carolina. His father, a mill worker. He's a Methodist. He and his wife have three children, Kate, Emma, Claire, and Jack. Their son, Wade, died in a traffic accident at age 16 in 1996, which led them to decide to have two more children. So they have one older and two youngers. I'll share a little more information with you about him right after this break. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, 20 minutes past the hour.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates block out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Are George Bush's policies getting you down? Have you had enough of Bush's messianic militarism? Does John Ashcroft's assault on the Bill of Rights scare you? Do you believe that Dick Cheney had his conscience surgically removed 3 decades ago? Are you angry at the Iraq fiasco that was the brainchild of Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul out of his Wolfowitz? Well, then subscribe to the Progressive magazine. You'll get the insights of Barbara Ehrenreich, the inspiration of Howard Zinn, and the mirth of Molly Ivins, Will Durst, and Kate Clinton. They'll help you survive this dark age. And check this out. You can subscribe today for only $12 for 12 monthly issues. Simply get on the web and go to www.progressive.org or call 1-800-827-0555 and mention offer radio. That's 1-800-827-0555 and mention the radio offer from the Tom Hartman program. That's the Progressive. It's your antidote to reactionary policies.
At last, there's a positive focus on a condition that affects millions. Read The Edison Gene, ADHD, and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. John Rady, author of User's Guide to the Brain, says this about The Edison Gene.
Once again, with tireless scholarship and a bit of poetry, Tom Hartman helps take us to the edge of knowing ourselves, our brains, and our world.
The Edison Gene, available in bookstores everywhere.
The war they are in has been declared over by the same man who lied them into it. Their reward? Combat pay cut in half. $1.5 billion cut to their family housing. $20 billion cut to military health care. No health care for reservists.
My answer is bring them on.
Thousands wounded, hundreds dead, and no end in sight. If we support our troops, why can't Bush? Or is this what they mean when they say an army of one?
Do you want to find out what the invasion of Iraq was really about? Read the new illustrated book, We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman. Once you've read We the People, you'll understand why conservatives are trying to bankrupt government and how perpetual war is used as a political strategy in the United States. You'll learn how our votes are in danger and what we must do about it. You'll discover why the Alien and Sedition Acts of 1798 matter today. populist watchdog and national radio commentator Jim Hightower had this to say about We the People.
Not only does this book tell you what's really going on, but it even draws you a picture of it. Read, learn, and act.
We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman. A compelling story of how a government by and for the people has been replaced by corporate domination. Fully illustrated by Neil Cohn, We the People issues a call to action in a most entertaining way. Available in bookstores everywhere.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, you can't always get what you want, they say. Or at least the Rolling Stones say. But I got to say, I'm very pleased that John Kerry picked John Edwards to run with him. I'm very pleased. 25 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number if you'd like to participate. Brad in Grand Rapids, Michigan's on the line. Hey, Brad, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you very much. I was just wondering where you got your data from, what would result, the fact that there could be no middle class in the United States. I mean, how many civilizations have been like ours? And you know what I'm saying? How can you extrapolate out to what will happen and the fact that there will be no middle class?
Read any textbook on economics. I mean, look at 6,000 years of the history of civilization. It's very...
How many civilizations have had a free market economy?
Pardon?
How many civilizations have been a representative republic with a free market economy like ours?
Well, there have been a number. See, a representative republic and a free market economy are two separate things, and there have been a number of civilizations that have had free market economies, and they've had wealthy ruling elites and a lot of scared working poor. The best example, and if you want to combine that with something close to a republic, the best example, as I said, is Dickensian England. I mean, Charles Dickens. Go back and read A Christmas Carol. Scrooge. You know, Bob Cratchit was just a classic example of the working class of England during the time that Queen Victoria was the queen, you know, and he had no health insurance.
That wasn't a republic. That was more of a imperialistic society. I'm talking about there's never been a society like America on the planet ever where we have both a representative republic and a free market system. If you don't like certain things, you can vote for different people and make changes. Back in Dickens' days, you couldn't do that, and that was not even true. That's like a fiction story.
Well,
I mean, that's not...
Dickens did a pretty good job of describing what life was like in Victorian England, and I would say, you're right. We do have a representative democracy here, and that's why we can change these things, and that's why we have been in different, you know, over the course of the United States, we've had different times in different ways. For example, during the Gilded Age, from 1870, roughly, 1880, until 1930, we had a society that looked very much like Dickens' England. And people rebelled. People rebelled. It brought about the progressive and populist movement. It brought about the great split in the Republican Party in 1872. People said, no, we're not going to have that. We want to have a society where there is some justice, where there is some fairness, where it's not entirely run by the rich. In other words, we're going to have the power of government is going to say, okay, we're going to allow you to play the game of business if you want, but you've got to do it in a way that doesn't harm we the people. And thus you had things like the Sherman Antitrust Act of 1881, December of 1881.
Sure, and those are good things, but I mean, I don't think you can say that there's going to be no middle class in America just because that's something, some story like that in Charles Dickens.
But see, there was no middle class in America during that time. It got wiped out. The first middle class in America came about as the result of free land. And that was from the late 1600s right up through arguably the end of the Civil War, right, you know, the early industrialization of America. And that was the middle class that Jefferson thought would last forever. And it was because, you know, hey, you know, kill off some Indians, or they were dying by disease, we were declaring war on them, take the land. Everybody had the means of production. There was a middle class. It was farmers. It was the farmers who rose up in the 1880s. With the
right.
Grange movement, that because they were the middle class and they were vanishing, and the middle class got wiped out between 1880 and 1930. There was virtually no middle class in the United States, and Roosevelt essentially created the middle class. by saying, by number one, passing the Wagner Act, which allowed for unionization in 1935, in 1936 creating the Social Security Act and saying people keep you can actually have a retirement, by passing minimum wage laws, which in 1914 the Supreme Court had declared unconstitutional. He created the middle class by inserting government into the process of the economy. That process was reversed. That was reversed in 1980 by the Republicans. I mean, the whole conservative agenda is to reverse the New Deal. They're very upfront about it. They're proud about it.
Let me give you a couple questions real quick.
You're going to have to hang on then, Brad. Let me just put you on hold here because we've got to take a break. We'll be right back. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program. 29 minutes past the hour. For more than 27 years, the Progressive magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. Author and broadcast personality Studs Terkel calls In These Times his bi-weekly tonic. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. 1-800-827-0270.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
The Maytag Corporation and the United Auto Workers Local 997 reached a tentative agreement late last week, ending a four-week walkout. Maintenance workers at its Newton, Iowa facility walked out after negotiations broke down over the company's attempt to reduce health benefits. Maytag representatives had argued that health benefits were eroding the company's bottom line. Many of the workers expressed that the four-year contract agreed to on Thursday wasn't the best option. There was concern amongst the more than 1,500 employees that if the union and company could not come to an agreement, that some jobs would be lost. Maytag recently announced the closure of a factory in Galesburg, Illinois, and plans to move some company jobs to Mexico.
On July 1st, the California Labor Federation celebrated the enactment of the nation's first ever paid family leave legislation, which guarantees most California workers a paycheck even if they leave work to care for a loved one. For example, employees can collect 55% of their salary, up to $728 per week, to care for a new baby, a seriously ill parent, or domestic partner. Labor leaders are hoping this legislation will set a precedent for the rest of the country.
Summer travelers to England should be prepared for potential delays at the country's airports from a baggage handler strike. The work stoppage is intended to force Avians, the services group that employs more than 2,300 workers at 17 of the country's airports, to revisit a 2.5% pay increase offer that was rejected earlier this year.
After months of haggling between the New York City Police Department and a range of groups seeking to hold demonstrations at the upcoming Republican National Convention, the city finally granted 10 permits. One recipient is the New York City Central Labor Council. They're planning a massive rally outside Madison Square Garden to protest the Bush administration's anti-labor policies. United for Peace and Justice is still waiting for a permit to hold an anti-war rally in Central Park on the eve of the convention, but officials are refusing, saying too many people in the park would hurt the grass.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. A multinational study of workplace benefits conducted by the Harvard School of Public Health ranks the United States near the bottom in several categories. For example, 160 of the 168 countries analyzed offer paid time off to new mothers as a matter of government policy. 139 countries offer guaranteed sick leave, of which 84% offer at least a week off. And more than three dozen countries even guarantee extra benefits like paid time off for fathers and the option to breastfeed at work. The U.S. provides nothing of the sort.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. 27 minutes before the hour. Jay Kevin in the chat room says, Tom, update your statement. Cheney has two DUIs, so he obviously has some kind of drinking problem. I had forgotten. Thank you, Kevin, for that information. Let's go back to Brad in Grand Rapids. Brad, you said you had a question. Before you get to that, let me just make a point here. There was a New York job fair recently, and this is in today's, I think it was in the Wall Street Journal today. It might have been in the Burlington Free Press, our local paper. I clipped it out of the paper anyway. Nearly two-thirds of job seekers surveyed at a recent New York job fair said they had grown more interested in working for the federal government in the past few years, and many would prefer working in government to the private sector. Now, you know why that is?
No. Uh-uh.
Because it's the last sector that's consistently unionized.
Okay.
The peak of unionization in the United States was the 1950s and 1960s, when 35% of American workers were unionized and over 60% of American workers were enjoying incomes that were commensurate with that of a unionized worker, because the unions had set the ceiling. General Motors was the largest employer in the United States. Reagan declared war on the unions in the 1980s. And now we're down to about 11% unionization. And now the largest employer in the United States is Walmart. When I was growing up in the 50s and 60s, you know, my father, with one person working in one union shop, could raise four boys and you know, full health care, put people through school, and he even has a retirement. He's, you know, right now there in Michigan, retired. And those days are by and large gone because of conservative economic policies. So, anyhow.
Let me just explain something. I probably listened to Rush Limbaugh for the last 10 years or whatever. And I agree with most of what he says. I'm a Republican. And it's kind of boring to listen to that stuff. And I just found your station within the last 10 or 15 minutes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting to listen to. But why do you think the unions are on a decline? I mean, why do you think jobs are going overseas?
Well, because we've changed the rules. It's really very, very simple. Government has the ability to define the rules by which the game of business has to be played. In fact, in order to create a business, you have to go to a local secretary of state and ask, you know, and say, I'd like to incorporate this business. In other words, business is authorized by government. The rules of the game of business are defined by government. In 1784, Tench Coxe was an American businessman who collaborated. This was even before the Constitution. We were still operating in the Articles of Confederation in the tail end of a war. And he got pushed through what today you would call Congress, the first tariffs, that is, taxes on imported goods, that were, quote, for the purpose of protecting and encouraging domestic manufacture, end quote. And we had tariffs like that. We had what the cons refer to as protectionism. I'll refer to it as protectionism. I'm a protectionist. We had those in place from 1784 up until, arguably. I mean, Reagan started diminishing them in the 80s. Bill Clinton really kicked the floor out from underneath everybody in 96 when he signed NAFTA and GATT. And that was really the big changing of the rules. And that was when, in large part. And we changed the rules. We said, hey, businesses, you can now do this. In fact, you know, now you've got the Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue last week saying it's a good thing for outsourcing. Why is it a good thing? Because it increases corporate profits. Corporate profits right now are higher than they have been since 1929. 1929 was last year. We saw a 35% increase in corporate profits in the last two quarters. And yet the average income of the average working American right now has gone up 1.7% in the last year, which is below the rate of inflation. In other words, working people are falling behind, and corporations are being more profitable than ever. That's because the rules were changed in the late 90s and continuing. Now, this is not a Republican or Democrat thing. This is more of a conservative liberal thing. Bill Clinton economically
was very much a conservative. Have you ever owned a company before?
I have owned seven companies that have generated about $250 million in business. The largest one is a company in Atlanta. It's called International Wholesale Travel. It last year did $28 million in business.
As a corporate owner or as a company owner, did you feel it your responsibility to give people jobs and pay them a living wage?
Yeah, I did, and because it was a small business, and I had to face those people every day. And I think that that's a very different thing from the way that very large corporations work, where the management thinks that their obligation is not to the people that they work with, because they never even see them. They think that their obligation, and in fact, legally, their obligation is to their stockholders.
So you think that a job is the right of an individual, not a privilege, and that corporations are required to give people jobs and pay them, you know, X amount to work there. It's not the fact that here's a corporation who invented something or whatever it is, and now they've provided the world with 10,000 jobs. That's not enough. Now you're saying that not only do they have to give people jobs, but they also have to pay them, say, $50,000 a year, or it's not fair. When, if they wouldn't have done it in the first place, those people wouldn't have had a job to begin with.
Well, you're setting up an A assumption leads to a B conclusion,
I ran a business myself, and I had to pay people, and at the end of the day, the business went under because I had to pay people way too much money, and it was my own fault, but at that time I didn't feel like. I guess I don't owe people. If I come up with a business idea and they want to work for me, that's fine. And if I have a job that pays $5 an hour and they want it, that's right. That's fine. I don't think that they should be able to then get together with my six other employees and say, you know what, we're demanding $10 an hour. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, here I'm nice enough to give you a job. If it's not enough, I give you a job. Now you're demanding what I pay you.
Well, yeah, you and Scrooge Marley. Ebenezer Scrooge. I mean, what you're saying is that as the owner of a business, as somebody who is using the commons, right? Your business is using public streets. It's using people who have.
And I pay taxes for that.
That's right. And you're saying as the owner of a business that exists within the society, your first obligation is to yourself, not to your society.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, you and I disagree. My position is that if we don't serve our society first, we're going to end up living in a society that none of us really want to live in.
Did you ever read Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged?
I have, and that I think is one of the core problems is this whole libertarian notion, the objectivist notion that it's all about the individual and Ayn Rand wrote, her father's business was taken away by the Bolsheviks. She studied political science at the University of Kiev in the Soviet Union. She came to the United States thinking government bad, corporate good, capitalist good, and she saw the world in complete black and white, which is how it's portrayed in Atlas Shrugged, which is not how it is. It's not real.
Okay. Well, listen, I'll keep listening because I think it's enjoyable, and I'll call in once in a while if I disagree or something.
Please feel free. Thanks a lot,
Brad. Thanks for the open dialogue.
Yeah, no problem. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, 1-866-889-8894. Our telephone number, Kodak in Durham, North Carolina, is on the line. Hey, Kodak, how you doing?
Hi, I'm fine. How you doing today, Tom?
I am great, but I'll get better. What's up?
Hey, it's one thing that the caller just said that they seem to forget. If he didn't invent this product and there was a need in the free society, someone else would. And as far as giving someone else a job without, quote, those low-paying employees, he wouldn't be able to make the money. So, you know, these types of assumptions.
Well, and the other part of the circle that I didn't get to and that neither did Brad is that if the average person doesn't earn enough to do anything beyond simply pay for their food and their clothing and their house, who's going to buy the product that he creates?
Yes, and I too, like you, have owned several businesses, and I have found out once I have obtained a good core working group of people and pay them a good wage, actually it was easier to manage because those people went about the activity of working.
Yep.
And it also enhanced the TN had a great employer relationship, but that's not why I called. I called to say talk about the John Edwards appointment.
Yep.
And I listened to C-SPAN in the comments of the American people, and contrary to what the proponents say, that it won't make a difference. I say that they should listen more to the people because it's going to energize them and give them momentum going into a crucial time.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm so excited that John Edwards is on this ticket, and I think John Kerry's a great guy, and I'm with him on most of the issues, or certainly many of the issues. But he hasn't done the kind of job of communicating his passion and his position that John Edwards did in the primaries. I mean, everybody knows where John Edwards stands. I think most people still don't know where John Kerry stands, and you know it's there. I mean, you can go read his website, but he's not jazzed up, and if Edwards overshadows him, fine. As long as it gets them both elected, I'm
exactly.
All in favor of it. Yeah.
And on a similar note, I went to see Fahrenheit 9/11. Naturally, I went to opening night.
Yeah, me too.
And then I went to see it again after reading the critics' critique of the movie, and also having seen the movie before, I'm aware of the types, the chronology of events, and it gave me a different outlook when I said in the movie the second time. And this morning they had a conversation with Grover Norquist and the Nation, David Korn from the Nation, regarding Michael Moore's movie.
Yeah.
And the point that no one seems to be able to really nail down whether or not it would be a plus for the Democratic Party. It's really not even about that. If nothing else, if it winds up just being a tool to open communication.
Yeah.
And the thing that I noticed that no one has brought up is, you know, when you went to the theater, what were the people saying when they left? You know, did you talk to any of the people? And everyone I talked to was either mad as hell and infused to make a change. And I think that is what's going to flow from this movie, whether or not every point was exactly right. But
I think so.
The choir.
I think so, too. And although, you know, Moore claims that all the points are right and that he's willing to defend them in a court of law and that he had super fact checkers and all this kind of stuff. I thought what was interesting was that Fox gave a very positive review to Fahrenheit 9/11 and said every American should see this movie because it's fundamentally a patriotic movie, which is my take on it. I thought it was really a movie about loving the United States, about loving your nation.
And last thing, I attended an Independence Day party on Sunday, and there was a cross-section of people there in age and nationality, and as part of the celebration there, we made these effigies of George Bush and Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
Out of stick people, and we had the face and we had the clothes stuffed and everything. And I had a chance to make the speech.
Tell me you were not putting pins in them.
And as I addressed them, I said, gathered here, we have the poor and the soon-to-be poor.
Yeah.
But I call you all my base. And at that point, we lifted them and put them over the campfire.
Oh, my.
We burned them.
Oh, my goodness.
As a tribute to our patriotism.
Well, okay.
But then
you're pushing the borders there, Kodak. You're pushing the borders.
But to take that further, you know, after that, you know, what are we going to do? You know, how many people are going to register to vote? How many of us are involved? And that was an encouraging thing, seeing the young people.
Yeah, street theater can be very satisfying, or not. But at the end of the day, it's got to be about, you know, getting
right.
something done. That's why I think that, you know, stuff like flag burning and things like that, it's counterproductive, frankly.
I know it's counterproductive. But like I said, we spared the flag and we went to where the problem was at.
There you go. Yeah, let's revere the flag. Let's fly the flag. Kodak, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. 1-866-889-8894. Our number, Jerry and Rutherford, North Carolina, is on the line. Hey, Jerry, what's up?
Hey, how are you doing?
I am great. What's up?
I was listening to the guy call in a few minutes ago that labeled himself conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And while I do agree with him that he should be able to set his own wages, and if I don't want to work for those, then I can go find a job somewhere else. But at the same time, it should not be part of the federal government responsibility or authority to take his side against me. Just like Alan Greenspan, he sets interest rates, and if he thinks that wages are getting too high too fast, he'll raise interest rates in order to curb business investment and in order to make, as Greenspan puts it, make the workers uneasy about their future.
Yeah, insecure is the word.
Right.
Worker insecurity is, Greenspan defines his job as maintaining a certain level of worker insecurity so that there won't be what he calls wage inflation. CEO inflation doesn't bother him.
Yeah, to me, that's just acting in adverse to the taxpayer's interest.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. Good point. Thank you very much. Good to hear from you. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Let's see. That was Jerry, and here is line 3. I've lost track. I'm not sure who this is. Is this Kate in Arcata by any chance?
I think so.
Okay, great. The note here said line 1. You're on line 3. What's up?
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I just wanted to commend both you and Brad for that interaction. That was so enlightened and enlightening, the both of you putting forward both of your questions to each other and listening to the answers and not getting all full of emotion about it, but just having an exchange that broadened the exchange of the experience of everybody listening and clarified issues without rancor. So
well, thank you, Kate. I should add, by the way, lest I seem to be patting myself on the back too much, that the business that made all those millions in Atlanta, I sold in 1986, and it made most of its money long after I sold it. So it's,
well,
I'm not the millionaire here.
No, the thing.
But I do know how to start a business.
You really do have to state your credentials so that you do understand what business is about. So
yeah.
I took it that way.
Yeah. Okay.
So thank you so much, and keep up the good work.
Okay, I'll do it. Thanks, Kate.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to us.
Uh-huh.
Presumably on KTRC there in KTRC is in KGOE, right, in Eureka, California. Harriet in Ann Arbor, Michigan, listening on WSDS, is on the line. Hey, Harriet, what's up?
Yeah, hi. Well, I finally saw the movie last night, so I wanted to weigh in on a couple of things.
Okay.
One thing that I haven't heard any comment anywhere, and everybody I went with, we follow stuff, so there was nothing too new. It was a good summary, and, of course, there is some very striking footage in different places. But we were pretty impressed by how the Saudis have their embassy policed by the Secret Service.
Secret Service. Wasn't that amazing?
Yeah, that was a new one. Surprising, though.
Yeah, the Ben Bush family, yes.
Yeah, really.
Harriet, I got a boogie. Do you want a hold over the break?
Sure, yeah,
okay,
please.
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold here.
Okay,
hang on.
Great, thanks.
It's the Tom Hartman radio program, 10 minutes before the hour. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you want to own a computer? Is your credit less than perfect? If you have a checking account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.95 for just 12 months, then you are already approved for a brand new IBM, Dell, eMachine, or other name brand computer guaranteed. You heard right. Bad credit? No credit? No problem. There is no credit check, so you will not be turned down. If you have a checking account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.95 for just 12 months, you are approved for your brand new name brand computer. Just call 800-588-0596. Freedom Frog Funding says you are approved. So give us a call today at 800-588-0596 to have your brand new computer shipped right to you. And if you act now, we'll add a $200 upgrade and a one-year warranty for free. You heard right. We will upgrade your computer and throw in a warranty absolutely free. So don't wait. Let Freedom Frog Funding send you the computer of your dreams today. Call 800-588-0596. That number is 800-588-0596.
Hi, this is Tom Hartman. Join me this October as we explore Greece, the ancient birthplace of democracy. When the founding fathers were searching for the best and fairest form of government, they studied the models of Athenian democracy. We'll explore together this part of the ancient world where the ideas that today animate modern democracy were first worked out. This journey is set on the shore of the sparkling Mediterranean Sea with the sacred mountains of Crete behind us. We'll visit the ancient site of Gortian, famous for the Law Code of Gortian, large 6th century BC tablets of stone built into a wall and one of the first examples of laws ever written down, and now the oldest still in existence. I'll teach workshops at the two most important sites in all of Crete, Knossos and Phaistos, plus more. At Knossos, we'll experience the main ceremonial center and the palace of King Minos. For information on how you can join us on this trip of a lifetime, visit www.tomhartman.com or call 1-800-234-TOUR. That's 1-800-234-TOUR, T-O-U-R.
Tom Hartman will be joining the exceptional faculty of The Great Rethinking, The Prophets Oxford, taking place the weekend of September 10th through 12th at Oxford University, England. You are invited to join Tom Hartman in Oxford, along with other leading visionaries, including Vandana Shiva, Helen Caldicott, and Rupert Sheldrake, among others, to rethink and reshape our collective future. The Great Rethinking Oxford premise is that this tumultuous time in our human history may be crafted into the birthing of something truly new. And you can play your part in shaping this new worldview by joining Tom Hartman September 10th through 12th. To find out how, go to the website greatmystery.org. That's greatmystery.org. Together, we will make a difference.
Dose
Sweat Apparel sold $150,000 worth of 100% union-made t-shirts, jeans, and athletic wear last year, and today they're launching a new product hoping to shake up an industry. It's a shoe, actually a line of Converse lookalikes made by unionized workers in Jakarta, Indonesia. On Wednesday, No Sweat Apparel rolled out its new activist-themed line of sneakers. The first special edition sneaker is a Code Pink high top in partnership with the D.C.-based feminist anti-war group. Workers earn wages 25% higher than the regional minimum wage. All workers receive a rice allowance based on family size and are given 100% health insurance, travel, maternity, burial, clothing, and retirement benefits. Mark Levinson is the chief economist at the textile workers union Unite.
It shows that companies can produce union-made goods around the world, and this is what our international work has been trying to do, to support unions in the United States and around the world to stop the brutal race to the bottom.
One thing that makes these shoes special is the fact sheet inside the box of the wages and benefits paid to the lowest paid worker. Adam Neiman, co-founder and chief executive of No Sweat Apparel, traveled to Nike headquarters to present Philip Knight with a free pair of sneakers and demand that Nike follow No Sweat's lead.
And they were very nice and they were very nervous. And she said, oh, we can't possibly do this. We have sneakers in warehouses. Sometimes they sit there for 6 months to a year. And they said, Caitlin, all you have to do is put a date on the thing and a disclaimer saying that this information is accurate as of this date. Well, she had no answer for that.
Neiman has a long way to go before there's a world without sweatshops, but he's stitching together a vision one step at a time. With the Workers' Independent News Service, I'm Sarah.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
What would you do if I sang out of tune?
And welcome back. 5 minutes before the hours. Tom Hartman, we're here with you. Wrong pot there. Hey, let's pot him down and bring Harriet back up here. Hey, Harriet, you were saying, I've also got Richard and Santa Fe on the line here. We got about 3 minutes, so let's try and move through it.
Yeah, back to the movie, and of course the right-wing spin, often they're recycling stuff from McCarthyism, but I'm finding it really striking with this movie. One of the things that I'm hearing, and you know, this is on NPR, the people that they've had on some shows there, they're screaming about Moore shows the footage from Baghdad before the war, and he's not showing how horrible Saddam was. He's showing this happy folk festival, you know, where he's showing ordinary life before it was disrupted.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me of having read Hollywood histories about the witch hunts, and during World War II, when the major studios made maybe about two movies that were, to show the Russians in a good light because they were our allies. Mm. And they were just kind of...
Harriet, I got to ask you to get to your point so I can move on to Richard.
Silly Hollywood movies. Good old Ayn Rand, during the first committee hearings, testified about how these movies were horrible and inaccurate because they showed Russians smiling and singing, and nobody smiles in Russia because they're under tyranny.
Yeah,
it's the same kind of argument.
Well, and in fact, actually, I was in Russia before the wall fell, and I was in East Berlin before the wall fell, and the reality is that there were a lot of miserable people there, and life went on. I mean, there were families and people. They did their things, and I can tell you some horror stories about it. So it's really there's two sides to every coin here. Harriet, I got to move along.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Richard in Santa Fe, you're up. You're on.
Thank you, Tom. Can you hear me?
I can. What's up?
Well, I just wanted to reply to that, Brad. I happen to be a business owner here in New Mexico, and I understand his feeling that nobody gave him anything, but he needs to understand his employees feel the same way. And they, in fact, have the stronger argument because, as a good businessman, you never keep someone on the payroll who is not making the business owner money.
Yeah, that's ultimately the bottom line, and which means that it's incumbent upon any business person to organize their business in a way that they can make money and their people can earn a living wage.
That's exactly right.
And
employment is not an act of charity. It is, in fact, an act of commerce, and greed is its basis.
Yeah, and commerce is something that we collectively agree to regulate. It's something that we collectively agree to say, okay, this is like football. There are going to be rules to this game, and those rules have to in some way benefit society as a whole. Or why have the game? Richard, thanks for the call and thanks for the point. Well made. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hart.
Pop and not so pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
The Maytag Corporation and the United Auto Workers Local 997 reached a tentative agreement late last week, ending a 4-week walkout. Maintenance workers at its Newton, Iowa facility walked out after negotiations broke down over the company's attempt to reduce health benefits. Maytag representatives had argued that health benefits were eroding the company's bottom line. Many of the workers expressed that the 4-year contract agreed to on Thursday wasn't the best option. There was concern amongst the more than 1,500 employees that if the union and company could not come to an agreement, that some jobs would be lost. Maytag recently announced the closure of a factory in Galesburg, Illinois, and plans to move some company jobs to Mexico.
On July 1st, the California Labor Federation celebrated the enactment of the nation's first ever paid family leave legislation, which guarantees most California workers a paycheck even if they leave work to care for a loved one. For example, employees can collect 55% of their salary, up to $728 per week, to care for a new baby, a seriously ill parent, or domestic partner. Labor leaders are hoping this legislation will set a precedent for the rest of the country.
Summer travelers to England should be prepared for potential delays at the country's airports from a baggage handler strike. The work stoppage is intended to force Avians, the services group that employs more than 2,300 workers at 17 of the country's airports, to revisit a 2.5% pay increase offer that was rejected earlier this year.
After months of haggling between the New York City Police Department and a range of groups seeking to hold demonstrations at the upcoming Republican National Convention, the city finally granted 10 permits. One recipient is the New York City Central Labor Council. They're planning a massive rally outside Madison Square Garden to protest the Bush administration's anti-labor policies. United for Peace and Justice is still waiting for a permit to hold an anti-war rally in Central Park on the eve of the convention, but officials are refusing, saying too many people in the park would hurt the grass.
Yeah.
here's today's Dow Bob Report. A multinational study of workplace benefits conducted by the Harvard School of Public Health ranks the United States near the bottom in several categories. For example, 160 of the 168 countries analyzed offer paid time off to new mothers as a matter of government policy. 139 countries offer guaranteed sick leave, of which 84% offer at least a week off. And more than three dozen countries even guarantee extra benefits like paid time off for fathers and the option to breastfeed at work. The U.S. provides nothing of the sort.
You've been listening to WIND, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find AMIBA online at amiba.net.
I did something for the worst possible reason, admitted the president. Just because I could. That was Bill Clinton doing his recent mea culpa about his Oval Office tryst with Monica Lewinsky. To his belated credit, Clinton admits shame about this abuse of power. I think that's just about the most morally indefensible reason anybody could have for doing anything. Now, let's fast forward to George W. To his credit, W. would not think of having sex with a White House intern. But this does not make him an innocent in the abuse of presidential power. What we've now learned from the 9/11 Commission and recent books by White House insiders is that George launched a war for the worst possible reason, because he could. It's clear that there was no geopolitical necessity for his attack on Iraq, no threat to our national security, no weapons of mass destruction or ties to Al-Qaeda, no reason to send American men and women to die, except for the worst reason. Because he could. He and his gang of neocon chicken hawks had an ideological score to settle with Saddam Hussein, and they were out to do it regardless of rationality, right, or consequences. Here's a Bush quote from a talk he gave to the National Security Council. I do not need to explain why I say things. That's the interesting thing about being the president. Maybe somebody needs to explain to me why they say something, but I don't feel like I owe anybody an explanation. He has the power. Might makes right. He can cause death, gruesome injuries, vast destruction, horror, and increased danger to America just because he can, which is the most morally indefensible reason anybody could have for doing anything. This is Jim Hightower saying, Clinton abused his presidential power to work out his sexual fantasies with an intern. That's pathetic. Bush, however, has abused his power to work out his Saddam fantasies with other people's lives. That's beyond contempt.
LendingTree.com presents How to Get Out from Under Debt. First, take an average guy.
Hello.
Then add some credit card debt, a car payment, and a student loan.
Ow.
To get out from under all this debt, get a debt consolidation loan from LendingTree.com, where banks compete and you choose the loan that's right for you. Call 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com.
Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details.
38%.
46%.
42%.
I cut my payments in half.
How much can you cut your monthly student loan payments by refinancing with College Loan Corporation? To find out, just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will answer your questions and tell you how you can cut your monthly payment by up to 50% by refinancing your federal student loans at rates as low as 2.63%. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. Tom Hartman here with you, broadcasting live all across America. Maybe even streaming into outer space, who knows? The beam from the Sirius satellite or the ABC Star Guide satellite, the Jones Stream. Anyhow, 7 minutes past the hour.
1-866-889-8894, our telephone number if you'd like to call in. What kind of America do we want to live in? What kind of nation do we want to have? And what is happening to our nation under this administration? What are the cons up to? John Edwards has been added to John Kerry's ticket. Lots of news today. Let's just take some calls here and get the pulse of the people, as it were. Alfred in Wyoming, Michigan. That's a Wyoming Grand Rapids suburb, right?
That's correct.
Hey, Alfred. Glad to hear you listening there on WTKG.
I got a couple little quickie questions, but number one, people always talk about the free market, but when you have a military-industrial complex that we have, that Eisenhower warned us about, then you don't really have a free market, not to mention the monopoly on oil, on sugar, coffee, diamonds, which I assume involve industrial diamonds. So
yeah.
we don't really have a free market, and particularly when companies more or less blackmail by saying we'll move to Mexico unless we get these tax breaks, and then they get the tax breaks from the local communities, and the local communities then tax the unorganized property owners, individual property owners. So
yeah.
We don't really have a free market.
It's socialism for the rich. For the largest corporations. For any corporation that grows big enough to threaten government. Yeah, it's socialism.
I don't know anything about Ayn Rand, although I understand one of my daughters is into Ayn Rand. But did Ayn Rand ever mention anything about the fact that she was brought up under the czarist conditions, which were not free market?
I mentioned it, but she doesn't talk. She didn't talk about her. You know, in her essays and things, she would occasionally refer to that, but generally not.
You couldn't compare the Russian culture with American culture.
Well, that's the fundamental mistake that Ayn Rand made. Is she assumed that communism, as she experienced it in Russia, and her father losing his business and when she was 9 years old, and the whole thing. I mean, she saw the horrors of the Bolshevik Revolution and a revolution that was based on some sort of principle, you know, overthrow the Tsar, turn into a tyranny, a dictatorship by bureaucrats. And she came over here thinking that that's what government means. That's what will happen with a government if you just let it be a government. And she didn't understand that the founders of America set up a very different kind of government here in the United States. It's called a republic. You know, it's called a constitutionally limited democratic republic. And she never got that her whole life. And she had some very bizarre notions. In The Fountainhead, she actually puts forth the concept that women like to be raped, for example. But her most bizarre notions are in
Atlas Shrugged. Did she ever mention anything about the Kerensky government?
I don't recall.
Yeah.
It's been 30 years since I read Ayn Rand at length. I mean, I know
that she has her writings have quite an influence with the libertarians.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, the libertarians grew out of the objectivists, who were the original Ayn Rand groupies. Alan Greenspan was initiated into the cult of the... I mean, there was this literally a cult that Ayn Rand was running out of her apartment in New York City back in the 50s.
Huh.
And you know, right up through the 60s. It's really interesting. I mean, she had... There has been a book written about this by the guy who was... She was married, but she also believed in free love. And she had several lovers at the same time that she was married, which ultimately led to the breakup of her marriage. And one of her lovers wrote this book about, you know, kind of the inside story of the Ayn Rand cult, the objectivist cult. And it was very much kind of a Jim Jones society. And Alan Greenspan was initiated into this, into her cult in the 1950s in her apartment in New York City, and still, you know, espouses her worldview very clearly, and you see it.
Another thing too, you know, I kind of go around the dial, and we have mostly right wing, you know, Rush Limbaugh. I don't have to go down the litany of the people and Cheney, but they're in control of the courts, the legislature, and the executive branch. But why are they so angry?
And largely in control of the media.
Yeah, but why are they so angry?
Because that's the only way that they can keep control, is to keep people confused. They have to cause people to think, number one, that they're not the ones who are responsible for the destruction of the American middle class.
Yeah, they act like they're not in charge.
Right.
I don't understand this.
This is what they've got to do in order to cause people to... I mean, why would a working person vote for a conservative Republican or Democrat.
Well, I mean, I'm unfortunate.
It doesn't make any sense. It's like, you know, why would they vote against their own best interests? Why would a small businessman or woman vote for a conservative Democrat or Republican? It makes no sense. You've got George Bush out there, for example, saying, well, you know, our tax cuts are good for small business people because most of the benefits are going to people who make more than $200,000 a year. Well, according to the Small Business Administration, the average small business owner in the United States, small business is being defined as companies that have 50 or fewer employees, the average small business owner in the United States makes $68,000 a year. They are relatively unaffected. The average small business owner in America got $100 out of George Bush's tax cuts, and yet he's running around saying, oh, these guys want to raise taxes on small business. No.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
We know better than that. Alfred, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Dave in Eureka, and listening on KGOE's on the line. Hey, Dave, what's up?
Great, Tom. I think it's a good day for America. I think that my observation of Edwards is that he is I think what Rogers called a fully functioning personality, or Maslow, a self-actualizing personality, a very rare level of high function.
Yeah.
I also think, you know, listening to the people that call, he is one who I think genuinely does care about people that will not be able to stuff money in his pocket.
Well, the great thing about Edwards, from my point of view, is that he gets it and he says it in just very plain language. But he gets it. I mean, he grew up in poverty and he is now rich. He has seen both sides, and he knows how the system works. He's been inside it. You know, he's been in the belly of the beast, whether it's the system of big business, which he fought against for 15 years as a trial lawyer, or whether it's the system of government, which he's in the middle of in the United States Senate. And I think he's one of the great truth tellers of our age. And I don't mean to totally deify him. There are some of his positions that I disagree with, but I think he's a great guy. I'm very pleased that he's on the ticket. And frankly, I suspect, you know, everything that I read, everything that I can find out, carries just as decent a person and has essentially the same perspective, might be a little more conservative than Edwards. I'm not sure, you know, what those words mean anymore. But Edwards is really bringing some charisma to this thing, and I think that's wonderful.
You're giving me a hope, and I appreciate so much what you're doing, Tom, exposing it all. I think, stay with your good efforts, and
I'll do my best, Dave, and you the same. I appreciate the call. Thank you for listening, and the work that you're doing out there in Eureka, California. And interesting, Edwards, the charisma that Edwards is bringing to this ticket, in my opinion, is really going to force Bush's hand. I think that Bush is going to roll out these ads with what's his name, John McCain in them, the senator from Arizona, and it's a test. If McCain ads for Bush cause Bush's numbers to go up, and they're going to be doing focus groups on this and all this kind of stuff. I mean, this is the most poll-driven White House in the history of the United States, which is probably just a logical progression. I mean, you know, the Clinton White House, everyone gets more so. And they're going to test this thing. And the odds are they're going to find that if John McCain were on the ticket with Bill Clinton, well, too much coffee this morning, I think. We're on the ticket with George W. Bush, that it would enhance his chance of winning against Kerry and Edwards over Dick Cheney, who is increasingly becoming an albatross. They're going to dump Cheney and put McCain on the ticket, and McCain is going to hold his nose and go with it because it's going to be his chance to run for president in 4 years. And otherwise he wouldn't have that chance, even though he hates George W. Bush. Hates him. John McCain, for what Bush did to him in South Carolina, among other things. So anyhow, let's go back to the phones here. Rick in Grand Rapids is on the line. Hey, Rick, what are your thoughts on all this?
Great show today.
Thank you.
So many things to touch on. McCain, what you just said there, as a Republican, I guess he's about as good as you can get, maybe, but if he really hates Bush, and he's just doing this, if he's put on the ticket so he can have a chance and 2008, he's really being politically expedient.
He's a politician.
Sure,
I mean,
sure.
Surprise.
It's like they say, look at this animal, he defends himself. But anyway, a couple other things. I think the Edwards choice, if you couldn't get McCain, is about as good as you can get in the Democratic Party. But I wanted to talk about this Ayn Rand thing, a couple of points on this.
Sure.
Ayn Rand, of course, was there when the Bolshevik Revolution took place, and rightfully so, she was appalled at the political and economic ideas of these crazy people.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing I wonder if you and your listeners realize. Although she didn't like the political and economic ideas of the Bolsheviks, guess what she did keep from the Bolsheviks? Atheism.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. The objectivists believe. I don't want. Well, yeah. Okay. It's a religion. They believe in. She was an atheist. She believed in polygamy or polyamory, or you know, you can have as many mates as you want,
sure.
That sort of thing. She believed that, and the libertarians still take this position that all drugs should be legalized, totally decriminalized, that the government has no business in that, that prostitution should be legalized. I mean, you know, there, many things that some people think are sort of like on the left end of the spectrum.
Right.
You know, really, here you've got this, you know, this thinker who's representing the most right end of the spectrum.
Well, she of course, is the objectivists are not quite the same as libertarians, but it would take
right.
too much time to go into the difference. I'm not even sure I'd be the best one. But another thing I wonder if, I'm sure you've touched on this at some time and your listeners do. Do you find it ironic that, for instance, specifically the Christian right hates the idea of evolution? And yet, there are so many within the Republican Party, including probably some Christian right people, that believe, as that other caller from Grand Rapids said, you know, that, well, basically they want to think about business as a law of the jungle, the survival of the fittest, which was a Darwinian tenet.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how religiously evolution and the survival of the fittest is a terrible thing? But translate it to the economic sphere, and that's what these folks believe in. Do you find that ironic?
Well, yeah. I would find it ironic if I thought that most conservative Christians actually didn't believe in evolution. I think that that's a real minority. It's a very loud and outspoken minority, but
well,
I think it's a very
small minority.
Well, living
in West Michigan, maybe it's atypical here, but I can tell you that this stuff, you know, things like gay marriage and evolution and prayer in the schools, and I'm a Christian myself, but I mean, these fundamentalist types, I mean, you know, if you don't believe in the Trinity, you're going to hell, and there's a whole lot of stuff here that, and I think in the Deep South, you know, there's pockets of this. It's not certainly nationwide.
But see, isn't all that just fine, as long as they don't try to impose it on you and me?
But they are.
But they are, yeah, and see, that's where it gets, that's where Jefferson said that he would, you know, on the altar of eternal God, he would oppose any form of tyranny over the mind of men. He was speaking about Protestant ministers when he said that
sure. In
that letter to Benjamin Rush. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, Rick. I got a boogie here. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, 20 minutes past the hour, 1-866-889-8894, our number.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is a small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates block out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Do you want to own a computer? Is your credit less than perfect? If you have a checking account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.95 for just 12 months, then you are already approved for a brand new IBM, Dell, eMachine, or other name brand computer guaranteed. You heard right. Bad credit? No credit? No problem. There is no credit check, so you will not be turned down. If you have a checking account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.95 for just 12 months, you are approved for your brand new name brand computer. Just call 800-588-0596. Freedom Frog Funding says you are approved. So give us a call today at 800-588-0596 to have your brand new computer shipped right to you. And if you act now, we'll add a $200 upgrade and a one-year warranty for free. You heard right.
We will upgrade your computer and throw in a warranty absolutely free. So don't wait. Let Freedom Frog Funding send you the computer of your dreams today. Call 800-588-0596. That number is 800-588-0596.
At last, there's a positive focus on a condition that affects millions. Read The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. John Rady, author of User's Guide to the Brain, says this about the Edison Gene.
Once again, with tireless scholarship and a bit of poetry, Tom Hartman helps take us to the edge of knowing ourselves, our brains, and our world.
The Edison Gene, available in bookstores everywhere.
During the past 3 years, it's true George W. Bush has created more jobs. Unfortunately, they were created in places like China. Bush's policies have encouraged the loss of nearly 3 million jobs. He supported tax breaks to corporations that ship jobs overseas. George W. Bush is taking our country in the wrong direction. It's time to make America work for every American.
While the world seems to be collapsing around us, there is hope. Tom Hartman's inspiring book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, has just been re-released. The new updated version is available now and offers solutions to the issues that concern us most: eco-damage, genetic engineering, virulent disease, the end of cheap oil, water shortages, global famine, wars. We can still do something about it and create a world that will work for us and our children's children. As the inspiration for Leonardo DiCaprio's web movie, Global Warning, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight details what is happening to our planet, the reason for our culture's blind behavior, and how we can fix the problem. There is information. There is hope. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late. Now with new updated information. Available in bookstores everywhere.
Democracy to the United States of America. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. 25 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. One of the folks in our chat room, Q12 Carl, asks the question, or makes the comment. By the way, you can get to our chat room. Go to TomHartman.com. And just click on live chat. It's fairly full today. A lot of folks in there having a fascinating conversation here as we're on the air. Anyhow, he says, Q12 Carl says, expect this week some kind of trick pulled by the right to take attention away from Edwards' announcement, like announcing the capture of some terrorist they arrested months ago. I think that is really an interesting observation, because the last three announcements of arrests of terrorists have grabbed the news cycle and reshifted it, refocused it away from things that were negative to the Bush administration, have all been terrorists who had been captured weeks or months prior to the time that the announcement was made. And the announcements were very carefully timed to juggle the news cycle, to roll the news cycle. So, yeah. And to the caller who called in during the break and said he didn't want to go on the air, but he was a Republican and he's listening to the show, and, you know, keep up the work, good work. There's a lot of Republicans out here who don't like George W., thank you. And to anybody who, you know, if you listen to this show and you like it and you want, you know, number one, please let other people know about it. Number two, and perhaps most important, support our sponsors. The local companies that you hear who advertise on the local radio station that you're listening to, or advertise on Sirius if you're listening to that, or whatever, let them know that you heard their ads on this program. And of course, our sponsor, our national sponsor, is Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MACS for anything Macintosh. Very pleased to have Small Dog Electronics sponsoring our program, 1-800-511-MACS, as well as the Organic Wine Company, which is ecowine.com, www.ecowine.com. So, that said, the changes coming down the road at the CIA. This really, frankly, concerns me. Oh, also, the Progressive Magazine is one of our sponsors, and In These Times is one of our sponsors. And you, I don't have all their phone numbers in front of me. I'm sorry. Thanks for the note, Louise. Yes. This really concerns me. This Porter Goss, who is a retiring Republican congressman from Florida. I'm guessing he's going to be the guy that George W. is going to appoint to be the head of the CIA. And this Porter Goss is so much good buddies with Dick Cheney and the other neocons. You've got the situation where the Cheney was showing up on a regular basis at CIA headquarters, saying, hey, you got this information? Iraq, Saddam, weapons of mass destruction. And not only Cheney was doing it, Newt Gingrich was doing it as well. And he did not even an office. And they were letting him into CIA headquarters to hassle the analysts. And so out of this, of course, came this situation where several of the CIA analysts did what they thought the vice president and former Speaker of the House were telling them they should do. They cooked the books. And now the Republican-controlled Senate Select Committee on Intelligence is preparing to release a report this week. This may be the bomb, by the way, Carl, in our chat room. This may be the thing that's going to get everybody's attention off Edwards. Preparing to release a report that's basically blaming the failure of intelligence. You know, why there's no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, blaming it on the CIA. And then they're going to put Porter Goss in there, and it's just going to get even worse. You know, talk about cooking the books. This is just a scary thing. I have a few details about this I'll share with you after the break. But it's just, this administration and its relationship with the intelligence community is getting more and more, there's growing hostility there. You see this with this publication of the book Imperial Hubris now by an acting CIA officer. And yet at the same time, the efforts to clamp down on and politicize what should be a non-political agency, the CIA, is downright scary, I would think, to anybody who's an American. 29 minutes past the hour. For more than 27 years, the Progressive magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. Author and broadcast personality Studs Terkel calls In These Times his bi-weekly tonic. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. 1-800-827-0270.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
The Maytag Corporation and the United Auto Workers Local 997 reached a tentative agreement late last week, ending a four-week walkout. Maintenance workers at its Newton, Iowa facility walked out after negotiations broke down over the company's attempt to reduce health benefits. Maytag representatives had argued that health benefits were eroding the company's bottom line. Many of the workers expressed that the four-year contract agreed to on Thursday wasn't the best option. There was concern amongst the more than 1,500 employees that if the union and company could not come to an agreement, that some jobs would be lost. Maytag recently announced the closure of a factory in Galesburg, Illinois, and plans to move some company jobs to Mexico.
On July 1st, the California Labor Federation celebrated the enactment of the nation's first ever paid family leave legislation, which guarantees most California workers a paycheck even if they leave work to care for a loved one. For example, employees can collect 55% of their salary, up to $728 per week, to care for a new baby, a seriously ill parent, or domestic partner. Labor leaders are hoping this legislation will set a precedent for the rest of the country.
Summer travelers to England should be prepared for potential delays at the country's airports from a baggage handler strike. The work stoppage is intended to force Avians, the services group that employs more than 2,300 workers at 17 of the country's airports, to revisit a 2.5% pay increase offer that was rejected earlier this year.
After months of haggling between the New York City Police Department and a range of groups seeking to hold demonstrations at the upcoming Republican National Convention, the city finally granted 10 permits. One recipient is the New York City Central Labor Council. They're planning a massive rally outside Madison Square Garden to protest the Bush administration's anti-labor policies. United for Peace and Justice is still waiting for a permit to hold an anti-war rally in Central Park on the eve of the convention, but officials are refusing, saying too many people in the park would hurt the grass.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. A multinational study of workplace benefits conducted by the Harvard School of Public Health ranks the United States near the bottom in several categories. For example, 160 of the 168 countries analyzed offer paid time off to new mothers as a matter of government policy. 139 countries offer guaranteed sick leave, of which 84% offer at least a week off. And more than three dozen countries even guarantee extra benefits like paid time off for fathers and the option to breastfeed at work. The U.S. provides nothing of the sort.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
They seek him here, they seek him there.
Yeah, they're seeking George Tenet right now. They want to pin the tail on him, or pin the target on him.
It will make or break him, so he's got to buy the best, because he's a dedicated follower of fashion.
Yeah, so the fashion of, there's their weapons there, and it's a slam dunk, and, oh my... The CIA was told by relatives of Iraqi scientists before the war, according to James Risen of the New York Times, that Baghdad's programs to develop unconventional weapons had been abandoned. But the CIA failed to give that information to President Bush, even as he publicly warned of the threat posed by Saddam Hussein's illicit weapons, according to government officials. Well, actually, according to the Republican-controlled Senate Intelligence Committee. This is butt-covering of epic proportions, my friends. This is the story that they're going to spin it. This is how they're going to spin it. The existence of the secret pre-war CIA operation to debrief relatives of Iraqi scientists and the agency's failure to give their statements to the president has been uncovered by the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. Surprise, surprise. It's all the CIA's fault. George Bush didn't do anything wrong. Dick Cheney didn't do anything wrong. Back in 1998 when these guys said, you better invade Iraq now to Bill Clinton, they weren't doing it. No, it's all the fault of George Tenet. After all, he was appointed by Bill Clinton, you know. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Pat Nipsilanti's on the line. Hey, Pat, what's up?
Tom, great show today. How are you?
I am great, but I'll get better.
Well, I wanted to say one thing about your conversation with Brad. You guys differed on, who a corporation should benefit. Didn't it used to be that corporations had to serve the common good? That was the first item in their charter?
Yeah, from 17, arguably 1780, more or less. You know, and it wasn't part of the Articles of Confederation. Never was, because corporations can only be chartered by a state. You can't do that. There are a couple of federal corporations, but they require an act of Congress. Amtrak is one. Fannie Mae used to be one. Every state from the time that the United States was founded up until the chartermongering era, which is the 1890s, when 1880s, 1890s, when John Rockefeller started pitting the states against each other, and after Ohio kicked him out, for breaking the antitrust laws, from the founding of this country until around the mid-1880s, every state had a law on its books which said that the charter of a corporation must state that the first purpose of that corporation is to serve the public good. And the second purpose of that corporation is to, and then you fill in the blank, you know, build railroad cars or
make a buggy whip.
Yeah, right, yeah, whatever it may be.
A couple of things about Edwards, too. The ink isn't even cold on the press release for his selection, and the Republicans are already lying, spinning, and coming out with the hypocrisy. I mean, McCain was never the first choice. He was never asked to be vice president. But now in all the mainstream media, it's taken as for granted that McCain was the first choice. He was just asked if he wanted to be considered.
Yeah.
Bill Richardson was too, and he turned him down, but he was never considered a choice.
Yeah, I know. And Al Gore never said he invented the internet either. I mean, you know, it's he said he was.
And the other thing they're coming out with, or another thing, is that John Edwards' message of a divided America is negative, and it's not what the American people want to hear.
Yeah.
Well, it's true. I mean, it may not be what they want to hear, but it's true.
But, you know, you got George Bush. I'm an optimist, you know. It's like, well, I'm an optimist, too, actually. It's pretty obvious, but that doesn't mean that I don't see what's really out there.
And, of course, all the Kerry ads have been positive, and more than 50% of the Bush ones have been negative. But, you know, they don't bring that up either.
No, they don't.
And the last hypocrisy they said about Edwards is, well, this is the poll-driven choice. Oh, they don't listen to polls?
Yeah. Yeah, that's consistent or not inconsistent with the idea that is put forward so often by conservative commentators on talk radio, that when government programs help out people, you know, public schools, welfare programs, unemployment, Social Security, that is politicians trying to buy your vote. And see, they haven't figured out that in a democratic republic, politicians do what we want them to do, and that's why we elect them. And if we really didn't want that kind of society, we wouldn't elect those people. Gee, what a surprise!
Well, if Edwards can bring any of the frankness that Al Sharpton brought to the debates in the primaries, I'll be looking forward to hearing him speak.
Yeah, well, he's already brought a lot of it. I think he's a good guy. I just have to say that. My politics are more closely aligned to Ralph Nader's than to either Kerry or Edwards, frankly. But I think that these guys are both great. I think that they're going to stop the hemorrhaging that is happening in this country. I mean, the conservative agenda of bankrupting this nation so that Alan Greenspan, as he did just three or four weeks ago, can come out and say, oh, well, you know, because of the tax cuts, we don't have the money anymore for Social Security. George Bush has been spending over $100 billion a year, every one of the last 3 years, out of the Social Security surplus into the general fund to reduce the deficit so that his deficit is only $500 billion instead of $680 billion last year, for example.
And veterans and after-school programs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you name it.
Yeah, and Greenspan is now saying, well, we need to cut Social Security. And the ultimate goal of all of this is to completely roll back the New Deal. It's to take us back to as Karl Rove has basically said, you know, that he admires the McKinley era. What is it? McKinley was president, what, 1890? 1898, I think it was. That's their plan. So
thanks a lot, Tom.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Pat. Good to hear from you. I think Edwards is going to do great, and I think Kerry's going to do great. And I think it's so ironic. It is so ironic. I actually heard a con say this on TV. It was either last night or the night before, and it was I don't remember if it was Hardball or Crossfire. It was one of those political shows. And this guy, he says, first of all, he says, oh, you know, John Kerry, he's been on every side of every issue. He's Mr. Waffle, right? He says that. And then about three sentences later, he said, John Kerry has the most consistently liberal voting record in the United States Senate. He's even more consistently liberal than Ted Kennedy. And, I was just amazed that the host didn't say, well, wait a minute. You can't have it both ways. Is he consistently liberal, or is he all over the map? Which is it? You get to choose, but you can't have both. So, anyhow, yeah. Thanks, Pat, for the call, and you got me started there. I just want to get back to this this thing about the CIA, just to wrap it up. The report, this is from an article in today's New York Times, CIA withheld info about Iraq weapons from Bush. See, Bush is the victim in this story, because the American people are starting to feel like victims. Certainly the families of American citizens whose relatives are serving in our armed forces, or who are friends of people whose relatives are serving in our... I think there's almost nobody in America who is unaffected by this. A good friend of mine is in the National Guard. He's been gone for a year. For a year. He had to leave his job, his wife, his kids. I mean, boom. He was not expecting that. I mean, you know, what did the ads say? Give us a weekend and 2 weeks, 2 weeks a year and a weekend a month or something like that. Anyhow, Bush has been causing his line us into this war has brought about a situation and the poor planning and the absolute failure actually of any kind of planning for after the victory. I mean, sure, we've got the mightiest army on earth. We can take on a third world tin pot dictator who we have spent the last 8 years beating into the ground. We've blown up his air force. He had no air force left. We'd blown up every single airplane he had. We had taken out. There was nothing there. I mean, I'm surprised that it took as long as it did. But nobody thought about, might these people be upset if we hang around? Or shouldn't we plan for, if we're gonna take out the army and take out the police, shouldn't we have something to replace them? I think this is this is perhaps a symptom of the bizarre thinking of the ultra-conservatives who believe that if you simply leave everything alone and just let the business people take charge, everything will work out. And so we spent billions of dollars to send in our largest corporations, our Halliburtons and our Bechtels and our Motorola and General Electric and whatnot, into Iraq. And they'll take care of it. Everything will be fine. Don't worry. Police departments, that'll happen, won't it? I mean, I think that they have forgotten. They must have. Otherwise, you couldn't explain their political philosophy. They must have forgotten that civil society is something that we have to collectively work for, that is work to accomplish, and we have to collectively pay for, and we have to collectively agree to. And to say government is not the solution, government is the problem, out of one side of your mouth, while out of the other side of your mouth you're saying, we want to have police departments and we want to have fire departments and we want to have, an army. Oh, wait a minute, that's government. But that's... that's the problem. They get into this weird kind of hall of mirrors, hallucinatory world, where up is down and left is right, and black is white, and nothing makes any sense anymore. And they're surprised when they go into a country with 34, as I recall, million people in it, and take out all the institutions of government, and then things fall apart. And they're like, but wait a minute, you don't need a government. Government is the problem, it's not the solution. We just got rid of your government for you. Why don't you just spontaneously regenerate something? No, we don't think so, say the Iraqi people. Anyhow, so we've got this situation. We've got this mess, Opotamia, as John Stewart would say. And George Bush has been looking for some donkey to pin this tail on. And George Tenet has announced that he's going to retire, and his retirement is going to be effective Thursday, 2 days hence, 3 days hence, 2 days hence. And about the same time that the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, the Republican-controlled Senate Committee, Select Committee on Intelligence, is going to release this report. The report is expected to contain a scathing indictment of the CIA and its leaders for failing to recognize that the evidence they did collect, they had collected, did not justify their assessment that Saddam had illicit weapons. Analysts, now they go on to say, this is, I'm reading from the New York Times, this article by James Risen. Analysts may have misinterpreted information, writing reports with distorted evidence in order to bolster their case that Iraq did have chemical, biological, and nuclear programs. Now, consider this for a minute, my friends. The CIA has no dog in this fight. It doesn't help the CIA if we go to war with Iraq. They don't have, you know, the people who work for the CIA are civil servants. You know, they put in their 20 years, they get their pension, they're out. Their best buddy, they don't own 300,000 shares of Halliburton like Dick Cheney does. That will go up in value if there's a war in the Middle East. They don't have a crusade to finish the unfinished work of Poppy Bush like George W. does. They don't have the doctrinaire notion that it's more important to protect the Americans' right to drive an SUV and have cheap gas than it is to be free of independence on Middle Eastern oil. I mean, those were the choices we were faced with back when Jimmy Carter was president. And he said, and Jimmy, who was a nuclear engineer on a submarine, you know, in the Navy, Carter understood how energy worked. His degree was in nuclear engineering. The guy learned how to build nuclear power plants in college. And Jimmy Carter got it. And he said, we have to wean ourselves off dependence on Middle Eastern oil. If we don't, then 20 years from now, our children, you know, the next generation is going to end up fighting in the Middle East. He said this 25 years ago. And so he passed all kinds of legislation to put into place tax breaks and incentives and grants for the development of alternative energy. And there was this explosion of alternative energy activity. When Louise and I moved to Vermont here 8 or 9 years ago, we were looking at houses, and we saw all these houses that were built back during the Carter during those years that Carter was the president that are solar. There's a whole bunch of solar houses in this, and because you get these tax breaks for doing it. And the first official act of office that Ronald Reagan did, brought into power as he was by the oil companies and Bechtel, was to take Jimmy Carter's solar collectors off the roof of the White House. And within a few months, he had eliminated all those programs. And, you know, here we go. Anyhow, the CIA has no dog in this fight. They don't, you know, they're not taking a political position. Why would they lie about intelligence? Might it be because Dick Cheney and Newt Gingrich showed up in their offices every other day saying, hey, you got anything for me? Hey, got anything? Might it be? Well, the Republicans in the Senate don't think so. They think it's just the CIA is dumb or something. 10 minutes before the hour, Tom Hartman with you. Truth and common sense in broadcasting.
The following phone call was not recorded on February 30th, 2004.
Thank you for calling about DirecTV. My name is Lynn. How can I help you?
Thank you, sir. Thank goodness you're there. You've got to help me. My cable company is raising their rates again. I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's okay, ma'am. I'm here to help. I'm glad you called.
They're taking away our favorite channels and charging more. It's just wrong.
Ma'am, I get that all the time. Let me help you right away. Would you like to get over 125 channels of your favorite programming for only $39.99?
Will I still be able to get my local channels?
Absolutely. And because you called American Satellite right now, you can get up to a four-room DirecTV system for free and free professional installation for all new customers with an annual programming commitment.
Oh, thank you. My husband, Nick, is going to be so happy.
Call American Satellite at 1-800-505-1542. That's 800-505-1542. Call now and ask how you can get total choice for only $29.99 a month for the first 6 months. A $60 value. 800-505-1542. At $4.99 a month for second and each additional receiver. Offer ends July 17, 2004. Call now.
Are George Bush's policies getting you down? Have you had enough of Bush's messianic militarism? Does John Ashcroft's assault on the Bill of Rights scare you? Do you believe that Dick Cheney had his conscience surgically removed 3 decades ago? Are you angry at the Iraq fiasco that was the brainchild of Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul out of his Wolfowitz? Well, then subscribe to the Progressive Magazine. You'll get the insights of Barbara Ehrenreich, the inspiration of Howard Zinn, and the mirth of Molly Ivins, Will Durst, and Kate Clinton. They'll help you survive this dark age. And check this out. You can subscribe today for only $12 for 12 monthly issues. Simply get on the web and go to www.progressive.org or call 1-800-827-0555 and mention offer radio. That's 1-800-827-0555 and mention the radio offer from the Tom Hartman Program. That's the Progressive. It's your antidote to reactionary policies.
Tom Hartman will be joining the exceptional faculty of The Great Rethinking, The Prophets Oxford, taking place the weekend of September 10th through 12th at Oxford University, England. You are invited to join Tom Hartman in Oxford, along with other leading visionaries, including Vandana Shiva, Helen Caldicott, and Rupert Sheldrake, among others, to rethink and reshape our collective future. The Great Rethinking Oxford premise is that this tumultuous time in our human history may be crafted into the birthing of something truly new. And you can play your part in shaping this new worldview by joining Tom Hartman September 10th through 12th. To find out how, go to the website greatmystery.org. That's greatmystery.org. Together, we will make a difference.
With the Workers Independent News Service, I'm Sarah Turner bringing you today's feature story. Walmart faces the largest class action lawsuit in U.S. history. A 3-year-old sex discrimination suit against Walmart has been certified as class action. This means the nation's largest retailer is now the defendant in the nation's largest private civil rights case. More from Kalia Ramirez in Berkeley, California.
The suit says the giant retailer is discriminating against women in pay and promotions and creating a demeaning atmosphere for women workers. The class certification makes the 6 named plaintiffs in Duke's versus Walmart stores representatives of the interests of a class of about 1.6 million women who have worked at Walmart or Sam's Club in the United States at any time since December 26, 1998. Brad Seligman of the Berkeley-based Impact Fund is the plaintiff's lead attorney. He says class action status means Walmart cannot afford to ignore this lawsuit.
The jury's judgment is going to affect the rights of 1.6 or more million women, which means Walmart is not going to be dealing with little pinpricks from a judgment here, from an individual, or a judgment there. They're facing the challenge to their whole company.
When the decision was announced, Walmart spokeswoman Mona Williams told Associated Press that the retailer had recently announced a new job classification and pay structure for its hourly workers. Seligman says he doesn't know the details of the change, but that the sex discrimination suit is spurring Walmart to action, on a public relations level at least.
Their commercials have totally changed, haven't they? They're now the Rainbow Coalition works at Walmart. Walmart clearly felt it had to make some changes to blunt what it anticipated was going to be the storm of negative publicity, which we've seen happen.
Walmart wants to appeal the class certification. Meanwhile, Seligman says the plaintiffs would like a jury trial next year. For the Workers Independent News Service, I'm Kellya.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
I'll take you there. Oh. I'll take you there.
Oh. And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you.
I'll take you there.
Oh. 4 minutes before the hour, John Kerry says, no more United States soldiers. I think this is one of the most important and profound things that John Kerry has said, and I'm just amazed it hasn't gotten wider play in the media, that no more U.S. soldiers should die because of America's dependence on Middle Eastern oil. I mean, you know, he has said that repeatedly. The last time I heard him say it was just, you know, like 3 or 4 days ago. We know now that the cost of producing electricity from solar power is down to the point right now where it is actually economical when amortized over a 10-year period. It's economic, and solar cells have a functional 50-year lifespan. It's economical to put solar on your home in most of the continental United States. It's actually reached the point where, you know, if you take the 10-year cost of it, in other words, if you're willing to invest in 10 years' worth of energy up front, after the 10th year, everything is free. And now there's a breakthrough that may reduce that even further. I mean, this is really viable stuff right now. If we would, you know, if we weren't subsidizing the oil and nuclear and coal industries. I mean, the Cheney's energy bill called for an $18 billion welfare payment to these industries. A right out front subsidy. Any money for solar? How about $1 million for solar? Nope. Nope, nothing for solar. Well, anyhow, this breakthrough is from spinach, of all things. They've discovered that there is a protein or an enzyme. Yeah, it's a photosynthetic protein that they discovered in spinach that they say the leafy vegetable could provide the missing ingredient needed to make solar cells sufficiently cheap and efficient to provide the world with electricity. It's a much more efficient way now of producing electricity using this new photosynthetic protein they've discovered in spinach and putting it on, you know, these silicon chips and capturing electricity from the sun. Amazing, you know, nature going around. It's energy coming down from the sun, and there it is. We can have a better world. We really can. And you can help. Register to vote and show up 119 days from now at your ballot place. This is Tom Hartman.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
The Maytag Corporation and the United Auto Workers Local 997 reached a tentative agreement late last week, ending a four-week walkout. Maintenance workers at its Newton, Iowa facility walked out after negotiations broke down over the company's attempt to reduce health benefits. Maytag representatives had argued that health benefits were eroding the company's bottom line. Many of the workers expressed that the four-year contract agreed to on Thursday wasn't the best option. There was concern amongst the more than 1,500 employees that if the union and company could not come to an agreement, that some jobs would be lost. Maytag recently announced the closure of a factory in Galesburg, Illinois, and plans to move some company jobs to Mexico.
On July 1st, the California Labor Federation celebrated the enactment of the nation's first ever paid family leave legislation, which guarantees most California workers a paycheck even if they leave work to care for a loved one. For example, employees can collect 55% of their salary, up to $728 per week, to care for a new baby, a seriously ill parent, or domestic partner. Labor leaders are hoping this legislation will set a precedent for the rest of the country.
Summer travelers to England should be prepared for potential delays at the country's airports from a baggage handler strike. The work stoppage is intended to force Avians, the services group that employs more than 2,300 workers at 17 of the country's airports, to revisit a 2.5% pay increase offer that was rejected earlier this year.
After months of haggling between the New York City Police Department and a range of groups seeking to hold demonstrations at the upcoming Republican National Convention, the city finally granted 10 permits. One recipient is the New York City Central Labor Council. They're planning a massive rally outside Madison Square Garden to protest the Bush administration's anti-labor policies. United for Peace and Justice is still waiting for a permit to hold an anti-war rally in Central Park on the eve of the convention, but officials are refusing, saying too many people in the park would hurt the grass.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. A multinational study of workplace benefits conducted by the Harvard School of Public Health ranks the United States near the bottom in several categories. For example, 160 of the 168 countries analyzed offer paid time off to new mothers as a matter of government policy. 139 countries offer guaranteed sick leave, of which 84% offer at least a week off. And more than three dozen countries even guarantee extra benefits like paid time off for fathers and the option to breastfeed at work. The U.S. provides nothing of the sort.
You've been listening to WIND, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find AMIBA online at amiba.net.
When you lift a log, you never know what kind of ugly squirmies you'll find underneath. Representative Chris Bell, a Houston Democrat, recently lifted a big one in Congress when he filed an ethics complaint against House Republican leader Tom DeLay. The first ugly squirmies were the details of DeLay's corruption, including everything from bribery to the abuse of power. DeLay, who controls the flow of legislation in the House, is not shy about demanding millions of dollars in political funds from corporate lobbyists, telling them that they must pay the piper if they want their special interest bills to move. But Bell uncovered other squirmies, too. In particular, he showed that Congress's own ethics process has been corrupted. Interestingly, Bell's filing against DeLay was the first ethics complaint since 1997. Why? Because the Ethics Committee has effectively been put beyond the reach of those who might dare bring charges against any member of the cozy congressional club, especially against any of the leaders. In 1997, House leaders quietly barred outsiders from filing charges against unethical behavior. No public interest groups, no citizen watchdogs, no hometown constituents, no media outlets are allowed now to challenge a Congress critter's behavior. Only members of Congress themselves can file ethics charges. But then the leaders of both parties did something else. They agreed to an unofficial truce, promising that they would not file any complaints against each other. Convenient, huh? This is the truce that Bell broke. In part, he might have had the gumption to stand up to the system because he has nothing to lose or gain by it. He lost his re-election bid in the March primary, so he's a lame duck. This is Jim Hightower saying, now the leaders are rushing to stop any future Bells from breaking open their tightly closed system. A top Tom DeLay lieutenant says he wants a new rule prohibiting lame duck members from filing ethics complaints.
Tune in tonight to Hangouts, where you'll meet a pop star with a pool for a living room.
Sorry to interrupt, but why check out other people's dream homes when you can use a home equity loan to create your own? Now at LendingTree.com, you can find home equity rates as low as 3.75% APR. But they won't stay that way forever. Call LendingTree now at 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. Or visit LendingTree.com. When banks compete, you win. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply. See website for details and licensing.
38%. 46%. 42%.
I cut my payments in half.
How much can you cut your monthly student loan payments by refinancing with College Loan Corporation? To find out, just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will answer your questions and tell you how you can cut your monthly payment by up to 50% by refinancing your federal student loans at rates as low as 2.63%. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here, broadcasting live, coast to coast, border to border, streaming around the planet on radiopower.org, beaming down from outer space on the Sirius satellite, and live on radio stations from coast to coast. The business elite vows to take on Kerry if he taps Edwards. Today's Political Capital column by Alan Murray in the Wall Street Journal. He's talking about Tom Donahue specifically. I think this is very strange. Louise and I have a small business here in Vermont, and I'm a member of the Chamber of Commerce. And the main reason I'm a member of the Chamber is because we get our health insurance through them. You know, if you're buying it on your own, it's tough, right? And my understanding of the function of the Chamber is to promote business, and increasingly what I've been seeing is that the Chamber of Commerce is promoting things like outsourcing. I mean, Tom Donahue, who is the head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, last week gave a speech defending outsourcing, saying it was good for America because it would increase corporate profits. Well, I tell you, it's not going to increase the profits of my corporation. It's not going to increase the profits of, I would say, probably 95% of the small and medium-sized businesses that are members of Chambers of Commerce all over the United States. I mean, it's just another example of an institution that has been hijacked by huge corporate interests. And now they're saying, okay, if Edwards gets on the ticket, we're going to declare war. Why? Well, maybe because he gets it. Maybe because John Edwards actually gets it. When he says there are two Americas, one where people don't have to worry about health care, where they don't have to worry about sending their children to school, where they never have to worry about losing their job or being homeless. And then there's another America where people are living in constant fear. He gets it. That the growth since 1980, with the beginning of the so-called Reagan Revolution of conservative economics, the growth of conservative economics directly, you know, follows the decline of the American middle class. That in the last two quarters, we've seen corporate profits between 30% and 50% up over the previous quarter. Just huge. The highest corporate profits since 1929, oddly enough. And yet, the purchasing power of the average worker, the average employee in the United States, has gone up 1.7% in the last year, which is less than the rate of inflation. We are sliding backwards. Because you can boil the conservative agenda down to two words, cheap labor. And Edwards understands that and is willing to talk about it. And so here we have Tom Donahue, head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, has made a public vow. If John Edwards is chosen as John Kerry's running mate, the chamber will abandon its traditional stance of neutrality in the presidential race and work feverishly to defeat the Democratic ticket. Other business leaders in Washington have been less public and less precise, but no less passionate, says Murray in today's Wall Street Journal. A Fortune 100 chief executive. Now, see, again, this is when they talk about business leaders, in the Wall Street Journal. They're talking about the heads of probably fewer than 3,000 corporations who make the vast majority of the very large donations in Washington, D.C., and control so much of our media. A Fortune 100, one of the 100 largest companies in America, a Fortune 100 chief executive who is active in Washington told me that Mr. Edwards, the North Carolina senator, quote, is the one we fear the most, more than John Kerry, more than Dick Hebbart, more than Howard Dean. Remarkable, eh? Remarkable. So today, I'm assuming that you know the news, that John Kerry picked John Edwards as his running mate, a brilliant decision. Our number, if you'd care to comment, 1-866-889-8894, toll free. And of course, that was at 9 o'clock this morning. At 10 o'clock, Dick Cheney called John Edwards to intimidate him, congratulate him. And we have a recording of that conversation that was supplied to us by somebody inside the Department of Homeland Security. Now that they can tap phones without warrants, it's a fairly straightforward process. Here's a little clip from it.
I've been waiting for you. We meet again at last. The circle is now complete. I am the master.
Yeah, and apparently John Edwards took it well. So, here's what John Kerry had to say. He said, John Edwards is a champion for middle-class Americans and those struggling to reach the middle class. In the Senate, he worked to reform our intelligence, to combat bioterrorism, to keep our military strong. John reaches across party lines and speaks to the heart of America, hope and optimism. He says, we're going to build that one America together. We'll be fighting to give the middle class a voice by providing good-paying jobs and affordable health care. We'll be fighting to make America energy independent. We'll be fighting to build a strong military and lead strong alliances so young Americans are never put in harm's way because we insisted on going it alone. Such an eloquent statement. It's a good time, I think, actually, to listen to a few clips from John Edwards, his thoughts on what this is all about and where we should be.
Because I take this very personally. No one had to explain to me what the impact of trade has been. No one had to explain to me what it means when a factory closes. I have seen the mill that my own father worked in when it closed down in my hometown. I saw what it did to the community. I saw what it did to the families involved. These looks that I saw on the faces of the men and women at Tower Automotive, I have seen those looks before. I want them and working people just like them all over America to hear this message loud and clear tonight. When I go into the White House, I will wake up every day fighting for their jobs, and I'm going to take George Bush's job away from them.
And this apparently has the Chamber of Commerce and the Republicans very concerned. The Republicans are rolling out their attack ad, of course, going after, pulling out John McCain. Let's have John McCain do an ad. It's called First Choice. I mean, John Kerry had apparently at one point asked John McCain if he was interested in being on the ticket. He'd also asked a number of other people if they were interested in being on the ticket. McCain, just one of many. I always thought it was interesting, but, of course, that's not the way the Republicans are going to spin it. Richardson of New Mexico, for example, and on and on. But it's really interesting because I think that this was the best choice he could have made. I think it gives the Democrats the very best chance of winning. It gives John Kerry the best chance of winning. I think, after all, People magazine named John Edwards America's sexiest politician. I mean, what could be better, right? So here are the Republican National Committee is already out saying that John Edwards is a disingenuous, unaccomplished liberal. Well, I'd say, yeah, he's a liberal. He's classically, he's in favor of a clean environment and good public education and upward mobility within the middle class and above and bringing people out of poverty, the rights of the individuals, and supporting and defending the rights of individuals when they come into conflict with the privileges of large corporations, and he believes in a social contract. He believes that there is a function for government to play in the marketplace, that the marketplace shouldn't just be a wide-open game. Hey, anybody can do anything they want, doesn't matter. Because when you do that, you don't have a middle class. What John Edwards and hopefully John Kerry gets this as well. I think actually he does. But Edwards has been so articulate about it. What he gets is that it is just, it's not a normal thing for there to be a middle class. Historically, I mean, look at 6,000 years of civilization. Middle class is the exception to the rule. And the founders were very clear. I mean, the first middle class in America was fueled by access to cheap land here in North America, and or free land. I mean, you know, steal it from the Indians. And that middle class began to collapse in the 1880s, and that led to the populist and progressive movement, and then it really fell apart from 1880 to 1930, basically. The middle class of America largely collapsed. There was a little bit of a coming back of it in the late 20s, kind of riding on the back end of the stock market bubble, but that was it. And then it was gone. And in 1935, Roosevelt passed the Wagner Act, which authorized unions, allowed unions to exist. Within 10 years, you had 35% of the American workforce unionized. And thus began the American middle class. Roosevelt passed minimum wage laws, passed Social Security, put into place the WPA. I mean, this is, everybody understands the difference between trickle-down or supply-side economics and bottom-up economics. Bottom-up economics is how economics have been understood for thousands of years. I mean, everybody knows. Any entrepreneur knows, hey, if you can see that there is a demand out there for something that is not being filled, and you can fill that demand, you can make money. So, you know, an economy is driven by demand. Well, how do you get demand? You have consumers who have money in their pockets. You want to jumpstart an economy? Give money to consumers. Put it in their pockets, and they'll create the economy for you. I mean, it's very straightforward. It's why, you know, the Democrats have been saying for 3 years, hey, George, instead of, you know, 50% of your tax cuts going to the top 1% of Americans, instead of reducing the tax on capital gains now, so that if, you know, those people who work for a living have to pay payroll tax plus they have to pay income tax, those people who sit around on their, you know, sit on their butts around the pool waiting for the dividend check to come in the mail don't have to pay any payroll tax and only have to pay 15% income tax. That is not what's going to really and truly stimulate an economy. Instead, extend people's unemployment benefits, because they're going to go out and spend that money tomorrow morning rather than say, hey, you know, I think I'll build a factory in China. Or I think I'll put my money in a bank in the Caymans where I won't have to worry about it being taxed by the United States. This is just so common sense. If you look at, just take, you know, the last 80 years. From 1921, so you include the boom of the 20s and the bust of the 30s, so they kind of balance out. From 1921 to 2003, during that period of time, the Democrats had the White House for 40 years, Republicans for 42 years. Well, what do you think you might find if you were to look at that? We'll check that out in just a minute. 20 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman Program. Tom Hartman here with you. Our number 1-866-889-8894.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house,
Small Dog Electronics is a small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
It is one of the most powerful books you'll ever read, full of the wisdom of ancient cultures and the directed hope of modern thinkers. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartmann. Discover how we're made of sunlight and what this has to do with the impact of fossil fuels on civilization. Read about the coming new ice age and what must be done soon. Understand how ancient cultures valued community and cooperation and what we can learn from them. Get in touch with the secret of enough, the meaning of wealth, and the wealth of security. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight helps us understand and heal our relationship to the world, to each other, and to our natural resources. We have much to learn and even more to remember. Here is your guide, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartmann, in bookstores everywhere.
For more than 27 years, the progressive magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. Author and broadcast personality Studs Terkel calls In These Times his bi-weekly tonic. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. 1-800-827-0270.
When I think about getting older, it's not dying I worry about, it's living and being buried under a pile of medical bills I can't pay for.
Healthcare costs are soaring. Millions more Americans are uninsured, and those who have coverage are paying more out of pocket. Yet President Bush offers no plan to curb costs, and his new Medicare law would actually ban the government from negotiating lower prices from drug companies.
The cost of these drugs, it's very scary.
Are George Bush's policies getting you down? Have you had enough of Bush's messianic militarism? Does John Ashcroft's assault on the Bill of Rights scare you? Do you believe that Dick Cheney had his conscience surgically removed 3 decades ago? Are you angry at the Iraq fiasco that was the brainchild of Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul out of his Wolfowitz? Well, then subscribe to the Progressive Magazine. You'll get the insights of Barbara Ehrenreich, the inspiration of Howard Zinn, and the mirth of Molly Ivins, Will Durst, and Kate Clinton. They'll help you survive this dark age. And check this out. You can subscribe today for only $12 for 12 monthly issues. Simply get on the web and go to www.progressive.org or call 1-800-827-0555 and mention offer radio. That's 1-800-827-0555 and mention the radio offer from the Tom Hartmann Program. That's The Progressive. It's your antidote to reactionary policies.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartmann.
Shake it up. And welcome back. Tom Hartmann here with you, 24 and a half minutes after the hour. Special greetings to our listeners in who are listening in Huntington, West Virginia, who are listening on WRBC, Tri-State's home for news, sports, and talk, and our newest affiliate. Very, very pleased to have you with us. Yeah, shaking it up here. Okay, from Harding in 21 to Bush in 2003, the Democrats held the White House for 40 years. The Republicans are 42 years. Let's compare the two. So you got roughly 40 years for each, right? In that time period. In that time period, the Democrats created 75,800,000 new jobs. Republicans, 36,400,000 new jobs. Per year average, Democrats, 1.8 million. Republicans, 800,000. Republicans had 9 presidents during that period, and 6 had depression or recession. Republicans had a recession, depression in 177 months, and Democrats in 32 months. The Dow grew by 52% more under the Democrats than the Republicans during that period of time, and gross domestic product grew by 43% more under Democrats than under Republicans during that time. But people say, oh, well, wait a minute, what about Clinton versus Reagan? I'll share that with you in just a second. Let's take a call here real quick. 1-866-889-8894. Telephone number, Brian in New Jersey is on the line. Hey, Brian, what's up?
Hey, Tom. I totally agree that the way that we can start taking the country back is by setting better rules, or at least getting back to the rules of these corporations. The problem I have is I've written my senators, I've called my senators, I've done everything like that. Are there any organizations out there that are promoting what you're saying that we need to do and that I can join, because I haven't been able to find any out there?
Yeah, well, there's two ways to go about this. If you're talking about things like, you know, I'm assuming that you're talking about the stuff we were talking about in the last hour about corporate governance.
Correct.
Yeah, about, you know, that corporations exist at the pleasure of we the people.
Right.
And that they're really, their first obligation has to be to serve the nation in which they exist. And if they're acting in ways that are contrary to the interests of we the people, then, you know, they have to be held accountable to that.
Just like unequal protection says.
Right, yeah, exactly. The Alliance for Democracy is supporting this. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. There's several. If you go to tomhartman.com and go to the unequal protection section of that website, there's a whole list of groups. Now, that's one way to go, and that's, you know, work. The Green Party is very into this. The progressives. The other way to go, though, and I have I find this very appealing, is to infiltrate the Democratic Party. I mean, you know, why not join your local Democratic Party? And you can also join the Greens, and you can also join the Alliance for Democracy and WILF and other organizations. But
plant some seeds in their heads.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know if you've heard when, for example, Jeff from Denver has called in a couple of weeks ago. He had, you know, back a year ago, he was calling and saying, I'm a Green and you know, a pox on all their houses and everything. I said, why don't you try infiltrating? So he joined the local Democratic Party, and he's now like, you know, a delegate for them and stuff, and he's caused them to actually pick up several issues and change their mind on things. You know, he's making them more progressive, as it
were. Wow, that's great.
And so, you know, it's, I mean, there's power there within the Democratic Party.
Well, thanks for those ideas.
Yeah, that's my encouragement. Thanks, Brian.
Yep.
Do good. Okay, talk to you later. 1-866-889-8894. Dennis in Huntington, West Virginia is on the line. Hey, Dennis, what's up?
Well, I've just called to welcome you to our area, and we've
Thank
been
you.
Getting so much of this O'Reilly and Gordon, G. Gordon Liddy and stuff that it was hard for a good Democrat to put up with. Considering in our area, in the state of West Virginia, the registration is 2-1 Democrat over Republican.
Yeah, I know.
And in the immediate area, it's more like 3-1.
Yeah.
In Wayne County, you know. And but, you know, we're conservative in a lot of ways with kind of right to life, and you know, we don't want people to take our guns away from us or anything like that.
Yeah, well, I don't think John Kerry is very.
John,
you know,
Kerry's not going to do that.
Right, he's the guy's a hunter. Yeah.
But we have a strong union tradition, so we've got you, and we also right before you we got Ed
Schultz is on. Yeah.
Ed Schultz.
Yeah. So Dennis, thanks for the call. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the welcome. It's good to hear from you. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program. 29 minutes after the hour.
A must read, The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. Ed Halliwell, a nationally recognized expert on ADD, said this about The Edison Gene.
Tom Hartman demonstrates that ADHD can be associated with creativity, high achievement, and a most successful adaptive style.
The Edison Gene, now available in bookstores everywhere.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
The Maytag Corporation and the United Auto Workers Local 997 reached a tentative agreement late last week, ending a four-week walkout. Maintenance workers at its Newton, Iowa facility walked out after negotiations broke down over the company's attempt to reduce health benefits. Maytag representatives had argued that health benefits were eroding the company's bottom line. Many of the workers expressed that the four-year contract agreed to on Thursday wasn't the best option. There was concern amongst the more than 1,500 employees that if the union and company could not come to an agreement, that some jobs would be lost. Maytag recently announced the closure of a factory in Galesburg, Illinois, and plans to move some company jobs to Mexico.
On July 1st, the California Labor Federation celebrated the enactment of the nation's first ever paid family leave legislation, which guarantees most California workers a paycheck even if they leave work to care for a loved one. For example, employees can collect 55% of their salary, up to $728 per week, to care for a new baby, a seriously ill parent, or domestic partner. Labor leaders are hoping this legislation will set a precedent for the rest of the country.
Summer travelers to England should be prepared for potential delays at the country's airports from a baggage handler strike. The work stoppage is intended to force Avians, the services group that employs more than 2,300 workers at 17 of the country's airports, to revisit a 2.5% pay increase offer that was rejected earlier this year.
After months of haggling between the New York City Police Department and a range of groups seeking to hold demonstrations at the upcoming Republican National Convention, the city finally granted 10 permits. One recipient is the New York City Central Labor Council. They're planning a massive rally outside Madison Square Garden to protest the Bush administration's anti-labor policies. United for Peace and Justice is still waiting for a permit to hold an anti-war rally in Central Park on the eve of the convention, but officials are refusing, saying too many people in the park would hurt the grass.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. A multinational study of workplace benefits conducted by the Harvard School of Public Health ranks the United States near the bottom in several categories. For example, 160 of the 168 countries analyzed offer paid time off to new mothers as a matter of government policy. 139 countries offer guaranteed sick leave, of which 84% offer at least a week off. And more than three dozen countries even guarantee extra benefits like paid time off for fathers and the option to breastfeed at work. The U.S. provides nothing of the sort.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. 26 and a half minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. You know, it's interesting on the in an interview with Ted Koppel a few weeks ago, John Kerry said he had never asked John McCain if he would be his vice presidential candidate. Now, apparently there was some communication between the Kerry campaign and McCain's people, but these two guys had never discussed this. And McCain hasn't disputed that. And yet the spin from the Republicans is, you know, he really wanted McCain. And, you know, what I think is really going on here is that these McCain ads that the Republicans are going to run are testing this guy out because they're getting it that Dick Cheney is a liability on the ticket. And, in fact, I maybe you caught this in the news, maybe not, but the U.S., which agency is it? One of our federal agencies I've got the story here. I'll get down to it when I get down to it. But, anyway, is now looking into the Halliburton, Nigeria 1990 scam, where Halliburton was paying hundreds of millions of dollars in bribes, had this huge slush fund. And in France, they're prosecuting people over this. And they want Cheney to show up and talk about what he knew as the CEO of Halliburton during this time. The Securities and Exchange Commission has just now opened an investigation of Halliburton and Dick Cheney, 1999 bribery scandal. And so it may well be that, you know, at the Republican convention, the October surprise or September surprise that we're going to see is that Dick Cheney is going to decide that he's getting a little old or he'd like to spend more time with his wife or whatever. And, you know, the George Tenet kind of reasons. And he will be replaced by John McCain, maybe. See, my prediction a year ago was that it was going to be Rudy Giuliani. I really thought that Bush was going to dump Cheney and replace him with Giuliani. Now I'm thinking that McCain may be the guy. And the reason why a year ago I had thought that McCain wouldn't, you know, that Bush wouldn't go to McCain and McCain wouldn't go to Bush was because there is this absolute hatred of George W. Bush that John McCain has that goes back to the South Carolina primary 4 years ago. John McCain had, you know, was ahead. He had won New Hampshire. They were going into South Carolina. He was going to lock up South Carolina. He was way ahead in the polls. And once he had that, he would have it. And he was going to be the Republican nominee for president. And Karl Rove came along and said, we can't have this. And so they hired a huge out-of-state corporation that can make, you know, literally tens of thousands of calls an hour, one of these big political phone banks. And they had them call literally tens of thousands of registered Republicans in the state of South Carolina and say that they were conducting a poll, that they were with a phony organization. Hi, this is we're the ROPO polling organization, you know, make it sound like a... Yeah, they were conducting a poll, and we were just wondering if it would change your vote in the upcoming Republican primary this week. This was just a few days before the primary vote. If it would change your vote in the episode, there wasn't time for McCain to respond to any of this. If it would change your vote, if you discovered that John McCain had been on psychiatric medication and under a psychiatrist's care because of the nervous breakdown he experienced as a result of 5 years being a prisoner of war in Vietnam. That was one of the three calls. Another call, we were just wondering if it would change your mind on your change your vote if you were to learn that John McCain had had an out-of-wedlock child with a black woman. And the third was, we were just wondering if it would change your vote in the upcoming Republican primary if you knew that John McCain's wife had had an affair recently. And, of course, the result of this was that Republicans across the state were, what? McCain is nuts! What? He's got an out-of-wedlock child with a black wife? What? His wife is... And by a very narrow margin, McCain lost South Carolina, and thus, you know, the dominoes began to fall. And George Bush became the party's nominee, to everybody's surprise. It wasn't, you know, it didn't really come out until a few weeks after the election, the extent to which this had been done. It was a really, you know, significant effort on the part of the Bush campaign to smear John McCain. And from everything that I hear, and pretty reliable sources, I think, people I know in Congress, who say, you know, McCain hates Bush's guts, but he's a loyal Republican. And he really wants to be president. And I think that he would be willing to take the number two spot on the ticket and hold his nose for 4 years, or maybe even anticipate the possibility that he would become president within the first year if the Democrats were to gain control of the House in particular, or the House and the Senate in this election cycle, and begin investigating some of the high crimes and misdemeanors that George W. Bush has been involved in, and he ends up getting impeached. I mean, if lying about sex in the White House is worthy of impeachment, what about lying about something that leads to the death of 30 or 40,000 human beings? So, you know, McCain might be willing, you know, he might say, hey, you know, yeah, I'd take the vice presidency. I have a feeling that there's a dance behind the dance, you know, that there's a subtext to all this, and that's a good chunk of it. Anyhow, John Edwards, the nominee now for the Democratic Party for vice president, he, according to the Associated Press, Edwards supports abortion rights, opposes private school vouchers and partial privatization of Social Security. He backs domestic partner benefits for same-sex couples, yet opposes gay marriage and opposes a constitutional amendment against it. He does not favor drilling for oil in the Arctic Refuge. On education policy, Edwards proposed offering 1 year of free tuition at public universities and community colleges for students who agree to 10 hours of community service a week, and wants to double federal spending on public school teacher training. I think this is brilliant. I mean, how are we going to recover our place in the world if we don't have a well-educated workforce? And it's just such straightforward common sense stuff. Edwards' health care proposals focused on providing better care and coverage for children. Under his plan, a family of four earning less than $60,000 would pay less than $370 a year for their kids' insurance. A lower-income family of four would pay about $110 per year. He also advocates subsidies to help two-thirds of uninsured adults buy health coverage. People aged 55 to 65 could buy into Medicare under his proposal, and unemployed workers who are not wealthy could continue coverage from their last jobs with a 70% federal subsidy. These are, you know, some of his proposals. I think it's a good start. I think it's a good start. In fact, let's hear just a little more of John Edwards on John Edwards. This, of course, you know, from the campaign when he was running against Kerry and everybody else. But this guy has the charisma. He's got what it takes, I think, to really get out there and shake the bushes and get.
I'm just glad you're having as much fun as me. That's all I can say. We have such important work to do for this country. We will continue this campaign to build one America where we have one health care system that works for everybody, one public school system that works for everybody, one government that is not in the hands of a bunch of Washington lobbyists who have so much power today. We're going to return the power and this democracy back to the people.
See, this is one of the things that John Edwards gets is that, and I believe Kerry does too, although he's not as articulate about it as Edwards, but that the core concept of American democracy is that we, the people, are the holders of the power. That it's this reversal of the historic three tyrannies, the classic three ways the government was organized for 7,000 years, with the, you know, warlord kings who ruled by threats of violence, theocratic popes and mullahs and whatnot who ruled because they said God told them they could and they should, or rule by the rich, which was known as feudalism. And in each case, those three groups claimed that they had the rights, and we, the people, the serfs, everybody else, had merely privileges. And the whole idea of modern liberal democracy was to flip that on its head and say, no, we, the people, have the rights. And whenever we create an institution of any sort, whether it's a corporation or a church or a civic club or a nonprofit or a corporation or even a government, it has only privileges, and we're going to decide what those privileges are. We, the people. And John Edwards gets that. Let's listen to the last part of this clip here.
This is a campaign for the people of this country, the working men and women of this country. It is what has driven and energized this campaign every day. It is the reason we have surged here in the state of Wisconsin. It is the reason this will continue as we go forward in these primaries, because the truth is this. What every one of us believe is we shouldn't look down on anybody. We should lift people up. We don't believe in tearing people apart. We believe in bringing them together. What we believe, what I believe, is that the family you're born into and the color of your skin in our America will never control what you're able to do. Join us in this campaign. Join
there
us
you go. Yeah, and he this is a guy who really knows how to work a crowd, and he's a brilliant politician, somebody I think of integrity, and somebody who I think has a good message. So it's going to be, of course, this is really going to ratchet the thing up. Now you've got a situation here where the head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce has said, you know, he's going to come out against it. This is Thomas Donahue. This is the same guy who said, before a speech. This was a week ago Wednesday at the Commonwealth Club of California. And I quote, although call center jobs have been migrating to the Philippines and Malaysia since the 1990s, in the past 2 years, cash-strapped companies have exported high-paying jobs in research and development, software engineering, chip design, and biotechnology startups. Oh, I'm sorry. This is the Miami Herald quoting Donahue. Donahue, scheduled to deliver a speech Wednesday, believes exporting high-paid tech jobs to low-cost countries such as India, China, and Russia saves companies money that they may use to create new jobs for Americans. Bush's economic advisors have said that exporting labor to low-cost countries will reduce business costs, boost corporations' financial performance, and thereby improve the U.S. economy. Well, if you define, as Donahue does and as George W. Bush does, the U.S. economy as being corporate profits, which, of course, translate into dividends, and those people who earn their living by sitting around the pool waiting for the dividend check to arrive don't have to now, as a result of Bush's latest round of tax cuts, don't have to pay payroll taxes and only have to pay a maximum 15% income tax rate. And now Bush has come out and said that he would like to have that be zero. They pay no income tax on dividend income. If you define that as the economy, yeah, offshoring and outsourcing, yeah, it helps the economy. If that's your definition of the economy. And isn't it odd that in so much of our media, that actually is the definition of the economy these days? I mean, isn't it strange? We hear the report every day of what the Dow is at, but you don't hear the report every day of what's happening with labor. When I was a kid, you know, in the 50s and 60s, there was labor news. Yeah, I remember. We used to have labor news. There were competing newspapers. I grew up in Lansing, Michigan, and the Detroit Free Press and the Detroit News, one was the Democratic paper, the other was the Republican paper. One had labor news, the other had business news. What has happened to this? Well, this is the world post Reagan. The conservatives have gone so far with this thing. Yesterday, Bush campaign manager is relying on U.S. Chamber of Commerce for Get Out the Vote. Yesterday, at a closed-door meeting of trade associations hosted by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce on the Get Out the Vote practices, Ken Melman, manager of the Bush-Cheney campaign, said the Bush-Cheney political operation is working with business groups to help President Bush overcome the impact of pro-labor coalitions. You know, how dare they, those pro-labor people? That's amazing. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Armin in Florida's on the line. Hey, Armin, what's up?
You know, something that's real important that people need to understand and getting a Rush Limbaugh, you know, that radio personality, he never explains to these right-wingers the full detail like you do of how these economic policies play out.
Yeah.
And, for instance, the people that close the factories in the United States, the wealthy, and move them offshore and let slaves take the place of Americans and then platform that stuff back in there into this country and put more people out of work because they can't compete with the unfair advantage, small business especially.
Yeah.
He wants to reward the big guys with even less responsibility by even paying back less in the form of taxation through his dividend reduction tax.
Right.
The guy's an absolute sham.
Yeah. But I think, Armin, that Americans are starting to wake up to the fact that they've been lied to for 20 years.
It's an absolute racket what they're trying to perpetrate on these people.
Oh, it is. It's a racket that, you know, 100 years ago, these people, or 120 years ago, these people were called the robber barons. And everybody understood what was going on.
Right, but, you know, most of the people, basically the right-wing group that listen to getting a Rush Limbaugh, in my opinion, are either insiders or pretty much zombie brain dead, and they're so stressed because of everything else in their environment or their work that they're anxious and they just don't think things out fully because he doesn't teach them and tell them the whole full truth of the story the way you do.
Well,
so they don't understand how complex it is. And he uses simplistic, emotional catchisms to take advantage and further exploit their ignorance.
And does it well, he does, I'll say. Armin, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. 10 minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Exposing the con in conservative.
Are you frustrated by your constant inability to lose weight? Are you looking for a natural, clinically proven weight loss breakthrough? Introducing CarboBlocker. Unlike anything else on the market, CarboBlocker is backed by clinical research that proves it effectively helps block the fattening effects of carbs without stimulants. Your body will think you're eating a low-carb diet even when you're not. The results are simply amazing. If you want to maintain the weight loss effects of low-carb dieting for the long run, if you're tired of clothes that are too tight and you want to look fit and sexy, then CarboBlocker is for you. It's clinically effective. Formula is safe, natural, and stimulant-free. And as a special introductory offer, when you order 2 bottles of Carbo Blocker, you'll get 2 bottles of Appetite Blocker absolutely free. Call in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also receive 2 free books, Lose Fat Now and the Low Carb Cookbook, a $100 value. Absolutely free, so call now, 1-800-743-5704. Guaranteed to work or your money back, so call now, 1-800-743-5704. That's 1-800-743-5704.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Are you or a loved one making too many trips to the bathroom? Listen closely because you're not alone. Over 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. That's why if you make frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, or a diminished sex drive, then Super Prostate Formula is for you. It was designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Toplitzky. The results with his patients have been amazing. Reclaim control now and join the thousands of satisfied customers who have had incredible results with Super Prostate Formula. When you order 2 bottles of Dr. Toplitzky's Super Prostate Formula, you'll also get 2 bottles of his Super Libido Formula, an all-natural alternative to Viagra to enhance sexual vitality and performance, plus his book, Complete Guide to Prostate Health, and his newsletter, a total $100 value free as your gift. Guaranteed or your money back. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund and keep his Libido Formula book and newsletter free as your gift. Not available in stores. Call now, 800-452-0978. 800-452-0978. That's 800-452-0978.
No Sweat Apparel sold $150,000 worth of 100% union-made t-shirts, jeans, and athletic wear last year, and today they're launching a new product hoping to shake up an industry. It's a shoe, actually a line of Converse lookalikes made by unionized workers in Jakarta, Indonesia. On Wednesday, No Sweat Apparel rolled out its new activist-themed line of sneakers. The first special edition sneaker is a code pink high top, in part partnership with the D.C.-based feminist anti-war group. Workers earn wages 25% higher than the regional minimum wage. All workers receive a rice allowance based on family size and are given 100% health insurance, travel, maternity, burial, clothing, and retirement benefits. Mark Levinson is the chief economist at the textile workers' union, Unite.
It shows that companies can produce union-made goods around the world, and this is what our international work has been trying to do, to support unions in the United States and around the world to stop the brutal race to the bottom.
One thing that makes these shoes special is the fact sheet inside the box of the wages and benefits paid to the lowest paid worker. Adam Neiman, co-founder and chief executive of No Sweat Apparel, traveled to Nike headquarters to present Philip Knight with a free pair of sneakers and demand that Nike follow No Sweat's lead.
And they were very nice and they were very nervous. And she said, oh, we can't possibly do this. We have sneakers in warehouses. Sometimes they sit there for 6 months to a year. And they said, Caitlin, all you have to do is put a date on the thing and a disclaimer saying that this information is accurate as of this date. Well, she had no answer for that.
Neiman has a long way to go before there's a world without sweatshops, but he's stitching together a vision one step at a time. With the Workers' Independent News Service, I'm Sarah.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
I don't want millions, mister. I don't want your diamond ring.
And welcome back.
All I want is the right to live, mister. Won't you give me back my job again?
Tom Rush there, 5 minutes before, 4 minutes before the hour now. Under George Bush's Medicare reform, we've seen drug prices go up at three times the rate of inflation. Under Bush, prescription drug costs have climbed 44% in the past 3 years. That's more than three times, but just since December, three times the rate of inflation. But overall, over a three-year period, 44% increase in the cost of prescription drugs. The average family health care premium has increased by 41% during the 3 years of George Bush's administration. And new jobs in the U.S. are 13% less likely to have health care benefits. 13% less likely than the jobs that have vanished. So that's you know, the new economy that George W. Bush and the cons are bringing us. And, you know, just steams right along. Reuters, this story. More financial companies shipped jobs to India and other low-wage countries in 2003 than a year earlier, a trend that will likely continue as companies strive to be competitive, a study released on Monday said. The number of global financial companies that moved information technology and customer support functions to cheap-wage countries rose 38% last year. Most of them went to India, the Philippines, and Malaysia. In 2005, Deloitte and Touche, the group that did this study, expects the top 100 global financial companies with market capitalization of more than $10 billion to offshore a total of $210 billion of their operating costs. This move will help each of these companies cut operating costs on average $700 million. Number of investment banks like Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, Morgan Stanley have moved to India as an outsourcing center to lower their costs. This is just, you know, it's getting faster. And see, what people don't get is that we set the rules of the game. They're doing this not because they're bad people or nasty corporations. They're doing this because our elected representatives changed the rules of the game in the last 10, 15 years and said, you can do this. And so they're going, oh, gee, hey, we can make more money. It makes sense. It's Tom Hartman. Thank you for being with us. Thanks to Louise for producing our show today, to Brad Walrod for our music, to Shelby for streaming us around the web. Thanks to our sponsors, particularly Small Dog Electronics and the folks in our chat room. Thanks to Jay for producing and performing our theme music. And thanks to you for listening. See you tomorrow, same time, same place.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
How can contemporary America possibly compare with 1933 Germany? Find out in Tom Hartman's brand new fully illustrated book, We the People, A Call to Take Back America. Through Tom's concise political analysis and Neil Cohn's vibrant illustrations, you'll observe an unsettling, if not shocking, perspective of America. You'll also hear what the founders of this country did to control corporate power. You'll be invited to consider how the American political system can be made more democratic, as well as comprehend the project for the new American century's vision.